Okay, we left off on this very fascinating Tosos in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis about the bathroom stones. If we recall, Rashi took pains here to say, Motzo l'haknos l'beis hakisei. Clearly, there's a heter of tiltul mutza, but Rashi took pains here to make sure you were only being metaltul mutza, and they weren't matter any type of chotzah or hachnasa or havaris dalad amos, that says within dalad amos, and it's an unwalled beis hakisei. Right? So therefore, there's no hachnasa, there's no walls, there's no havaris dalad amos, there's just tiltul mutza, they were only matter tiltul mutza. And Tosos takes them on, and the last thing we said yesterday is that Tosos had two types of questions against Rashi. His first type of question, more technical, how could Rashi, it's an unwalled Beis HaKisei, I have raya from many places in Shas that a Beis HaKisei has walls. Okay, all the Achronim say that they're not even sure how seriously Tosos meant these. Could be that some bathrooms had walls and some bathrooms didn't. That's not a very good proof. But his stronger proof is a halachic taina, which is that how could Rashi say they were matir tiltul mukta and not hotzah b'karmelis? Right, because l'chor we're talking about a karmelis here. It talks about a sadeh. And not hotzah, technically hachnasa or havaris dalet amos b'karmelis. After all, karmelis is more kal than tiltul mukta. How does Tosfos know karmelis is more kal than tiltul mukta? Because in one gemara they were matir, carrying a mace in a karmelis, in order to save the mace, for Kavadah mace. Yet, they were not matir, carrying a mace that's mukta, right? Or, well, how do you carry if they weren't matir mukta? Meaning they weren't matir mukta per se, explicitly. They were only matir using a loophole for mukta. You put a kika rotino, meaning anything that's not mukta on the mace, and then you move it. So, here we have the kasha, says Rashi. Says Rashi that when it comes to Beis HaKisei, Mukta is Mutter, but Karmelis is Aser. Says Tosfos, no. When it comes to Beis HaKisei, everything is Mutter. And his proof is that Mukta is chomer, is more chomer than karmelis, and if mukta is more chomer than karmelis, then if mukta is mutter, kol shekein karmelis is mutter. So the question is, how do you defend Rashi against Tosfos? And the truth is, there are two good ways to defend Rashi against Tosfos. Both ways to defend Rashi and Tosfos are so reasonable, are so good, that I'm not sure which is the correct way. How do you defend Rashi against Tosfos? After all, if mukta is more chomer than karmelis, and they were matur mukta, shouldn't they be matur karmelis be kol shekein?
Well, we said yesterday, one of the easiest ones is that it's only dahuli. I mean, you have no other way of doing it with tiltul, but you haven't with muksa, but you have another way of doing it with sa'atah.
Right, so this becomes a little tricky if you get into the details, but Tosfos already answered his question on Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalet. Right? So what are the two ways to answer Rashi's question? After all, muksa is more chomer than karmelis. So one way to answer Rashi's question is that, no, karmelis is more chomer than mukta. Taka karmelis is more chomer. So why were they matur karmelis for a mace, and they weren't matur mukta for a mace? So it's not because of chumrah, right? And how about by mace? Kasha mi mace. So the answer is already Tosfos and Shabbos says. No. Hitiru gam karmelis. Or, let's see. They hitiru karmelis, and they would have permitted mukta. Right? They were willing to permit muksa, because muksa is actually more chal than karmelis, but they didn't because they had another option. Right? As Joel said, because it's d'chuya, not hutra, you have to minimize the yisr, but they were machmir to require kikar otinok because it's preferable to minimize the Aveira. Okay.
Therefore, since they could minimize what so they were, there was no way to minimize Carmelis. Adding a Giyur or Tinok wouldn't minimize the Isser of Carmelis. Okay, this gets a little tricky. Bisfas Emes here points out, it's clear in the Gemara in the third paragraph of Shabbos that if you have no Kikur or Tinok, you still can't carry the mace, even if it's not an option. So you have the answer, no. Once 99.9% of the cases you have Kikur or Tinok, they just made a rule, low plug, that you need a Kikur or Tinok. So this is one possibility. In which case, you have a very fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosos. What is the Yesod HaMachlokes between Rashi and Tosos? Yesod HaMachlokes, according to this derech, right, is that Tosos holds that Mukta is more chamer, and Rashi holds that Mukta is less chamer. That's the Yesod of the Machlokes between Rashi and Tosos. Now, this question, whether Mukta is more or less chomer than Carmelis, might depend on a very, very famous discussion in Rishonim as to why Chazal asered Mukta in the first place. It's a fascinating question, right? Most of the things Chazal asered in Maseches Shabbos, we know where they came from, right? There is there are 39 melachos that comes from the Torah, Los Asa Kol Melacha. And then Chazal makes Zeros, Asa Mishmeres, Mishmarti. So they assert certain things, and the Gemara goes to great pains to explain everything Chazal assert. It's a Gzeira to this Malacha, it's a Gzeira to that Malacha. Right? So we have 39 Malachas and Gzeiras out to those Malacha. That makes a lot of sense. But Mukta does not immediately appear to be, it's clearly not one of the 39 Malachos, doesn't seem to be connected to those 39 Malachas. Why did Chazal assert Mukta b'chlal? Right? So it's not so explicit in the Gemara why Chazal Asher Mukta, and this is a famous Machlokes Rishonim. Lama Asru Tiltal Mukta. I'll actually use the word Tiltal Mukta here because I'm not getting into it. But a lot of the Achronim point out, if you're a Daik in certain Rishonim, there might be even seen eating Mukta and Tiltal Mukta. We're going to stick with Tiltal Mukta here. Not consuming, but moving Mukta. Why did they ask their Tiltal Mukta? So why does Rashi say, in Maseches Beitzah? Why did they ask her Mukta? It's a very important question. So Maseches Beitzah, the first thing you have to ask yourself is why is Mukta? Gzeira to Otsai. It is, it's just like the other things. It's Gzeira to one of the 39 Malachos. After all, if you pick things up and move them, you might carry them outside. If you don't pick things up in the first place, then you won't carry them outside. If you don't carry them in your house, you won't carry them into the street. Right? So they answered Mukta in order to prevent you from doing Hotzak, the less things you can, the less things you carry anywhere, the less things you will carry in the wrong place. And that's how Rashi explains the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza says they have a Havamin in Beitza that Beis Hillel holds. There's no Isser Hotzak on Yontif. You should know that's not how we paskin. Right? We paskin, there is an Isser Hotzak on Yontif, just that's Maskana. We talk Shotu L'Tzorech, Hotu Shalom L'Tzorech. Since it's mutter to carry food to eat on Yontif Rochel Nefesh, it's mutter to carry anything for Yontif, but there isn't Isser Otzah on Yontif. I can't carry outside versus Rabman Yontif something that I need for the next day, for example. Right? So, there, the Gemara says, but if the Havmin is there's no Isser Otzah. So the Gemara asks, if there's no Isser Otzah, then, according to Rashi's gear, it should be mutter to carry rocks, meaning it should be mutter to move Mukta. So Rashi says, and here we see that if there's an Isser Otzah, there goes on Mukta. If there's no Isser Otzah, then where it goes around Mukta? Because Mukta is a Gzeira Atu Hotzah. Which other Rishon agrees with Rashi that it's a Gzeira Atu Hotzah? Who? The Raivin. The Rambam, well, say what he says in a moment. The Raivin says, he even says in the Mefurash Gemara, that it's a Gzeira Atu, Hotzah. So, if you ask why did they ask for Mukta, says Rashi and the Raivin, Gzeira Atu Hotzah. Okay. Of course, what's a little tricky for Rashi and the Raivin? Gzeira Atu Hotzah. If it's a Gzeira Atu Hotzah, then what's strange?
Everything's
what?
Everything's
Yeah, what's mukta? Right, anyone ever learned Hilchos Mukta, Maseches Beitza, or parts of Maseches Shabbos knows there's all kinds of details and eon and, you know, what are your mukta, mukta, machlos, kesum, kiss, and mukta, machlos, isra, and mukta, machlos, this, and mukta, machlos, that, and grogers, pitsimukim, and all kinds of klish, machlos, isra, there's all these categories of mukta, and the principle seems to be whether you set it aside from use or you prepared it for use. What does any of that have to do with Hotzah? If it's a matter of Hotzah, they should just answer everything. Or nothing, right? That's, okay, who asked that Kasha Rashi trick question?
Rashi himself.
Rashi doesn't Beitza, right? Everyone thought of this Kasha. So what does Rashi answer? He answers that, yeah, and they would have answered everything. As a matter of fact, they could have done better. Not only would they have answered everything,
they did.
If you're a bit of a historian, they did answer everything. It says in the Gemara that Nehemiah, at some point, answered everything. And then he relaxed a little, or answered almost everything. And then he relaxed a little. They should have answered everything, but it's Xerish and Yitzhak Olamah, but we can't not make a tautal anything on Shabbos. And therefore, they mattered necessary things and answered unnecessary things. And this whole thing of like mukta and mukhan is really just a way of measuring how necessary things are. After all, things which we set aside from use are obviously not necessary. Things that are prepared for use are obviously necessary. Okay, so Xera Atavotsa, and what's the whole inyan of mukta and mukhan? Right? And you have to say the idea of mukta versus mukhan is an approximation of necessity. Because they can't be gozer something too hard, right? To make the gzeira, to make the gzeira possible to keep, right? So it's not really that we care whether you set something aside or prepared it. You're not making and maksa. That's lo ha'yan. It's just a way to estimate whether something's necessary or not so as to not make too difficult of a burden on the Jewish people so they can stay from. Okay, that's Rashi in the right. What does the Rambam say?
Two reasons? Yeah, I found...
Might depend how you count, but I think...
Shalayim kiyom chol. That's, I think, the first halacha, you'd bet.
Good.
And you'd yemol, shema yavoli dey malach.
Okay, but I think there might be... Again, you could divide it different ways, but I would perhaps subdivide it a little more. He says, first he says, why did they do this? Maybe not know Gubba Yisr said, right? He's also curious. Amru ma'im his hiru nevim etziv sholim luchak shabbos ki luchak b'chol v'lo sichas shabbos sichu b'chol shenemar v'davar davar kamachom shalo tiltum shabbos ki luchak b'chol k'dei shalo yek yom chol v'ein av yavo lag bil atak in kelim pino pino v'ayis v'ayis v'lo tzni avonim ki yotzven shari yubatul v'yoshu v'yisim v'yakish dami shi'is asik bo. The ninja shlo shavas uvatel tam shenemar b'torah lema'an ya'anuach. So his first answer is, this combines a lot of things, that just like Yeshaya said, you have to walk differently and talk differently, likewise, Chazal goes, you have to metaltel differently. Why? It's interesting, you could have stopped there, but okay, we're not going to get into that. Now, he says, so that you don't come to like carry things around all Shabbos and lose your rest, because the Torah said lema'an ya'anuach. So one is to make Shabbos restful. Right? That's his first answer, to make it restful. Maybe that's also why we don't walk on Shabbos like we walk on Chol, right? On Chol, we run and we're in a rush everywhere. On Shabbos, okay, Shul might be an exception, but we walk calmly. That makes it more restful. Okay, second answer. If you, most of the mukta things have to do with malachos. Not all, but most. So if you're metaltal, things used for malacha, you might actually do a malacha. That's intuitive to us. You're metaltal a pen, you might accidentally come to write. Obviously, if you can't move the pens, it's less likely you'll come to write. That doesn't explain all muktzahs, and he admits. It explains many kinds of muktzah. And thirdly, the ode, Neshem mitzah ha'amin ambali umnuyos, elo v'tenu kol yumeihem. Some people never work. And therefore, im yamotel ha'achal davar l'talpul k'shar yam, ninshem shol shava shvisa ha'nikeres. Okay, and he says also, because what if you never work? You never do 39 malachos. Then it won't be shvisa hanikeres. It won't be recognizable when you're resting on Shabbos. Apparently the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah saseh of shvita b'shabbat add something, even though the Rambam says, unlike the Rabban, not for now, that the mitzvah say of Shabbaton is really the same as the Isur Bosasecha Melacha. The lav means thou shalt not do Melacha, and the aseh means thou shalt refrain from Melacha. But it's not exactly the same. If it was just Bosasecha Melacha, if you didn't do Melacha, it would be okay. Shabbaton means you need to recognizably make Shabbos different by not doing Melacha. And therefore, if you don't carry certain things, it will be more recognizable that you're Shavet. Right, this is a total tangent. The Rav had a vart once where, you know, all the Rishonim debate and the Achronim go to town. Why is it a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? And we darshan from Pasuk, but nonetheless, everyone debates what the reason is. So the Rav suggested that maybe because the Rambam has a unique shita that he says the mitzvah lishbot me'achilav Yom Kippur. He thinks Shabbos includes not eating on Yom Kippur. And therefore, he says you need Shemitah Nitzarim. It's recognizable that you're not eating because of Yom Kippur, so maybe you have to eat before Yom Kippur, so it'll be more recognizable that you're not eating on Yom Kippur. Okay, you can take that or leave that. But this is the Rambam, says the Rambam again. Number one, the Ma'an Yanuach. Number two, Shelo Yaseh Melacha Bidvarim Shehu Mitaltel. And number three, he says, and number three, Shvisa Nikeres, so it'll be very recognizable that Shabbos is different from weekday.
That we're keeping Shabbos.
Right, okay, that would fit this Rambam.
Moshe Weiss, for instance, besides all the other things of Rama, he says if you have a Shabbos switch, and then you have a Shabbos card, you have a Shabbos everything else, you won't have Shabbos Nikeres. Uh-huh. So you can answer that on top of everything else.
Okay.
When you draw the line,
yeah, okay, and Hanami, it's not Pashat, but that is a valid point. Like Lodi Ganvan Kidekach, but we could. Okay. That's the Rambam. Interestingly, even for the Rambam, it's not so clear like what that has to do with Muktza and Mukhan. Like, why does it matter if something's prepared from beforehand or not prepared from beforehand? How does that add to Manya Nuach and the Shvisa Nikeret and even Shliyasa Malacha? That doesn't explain all the kinds of Muktza. It explains some kinds of Muktza, like Lishanach L'Isser and maybe. Even other types of mukzah, but not all of them, right? Groger fitzimukim, we're not going to do malacha with. Okay, so still you need to work on it a little, but I think even though, you know, it's a little hard to find this explicitly in the Rishonim, we'd definitely be remiss if we didn't bring up the possibility that it might actually have to do with mukzah and mukhan, right? Which are the phrases. Again, if you ever learned halachas mukzah, especially the Gemara, it's all about being making something or being matzah something, right? And the biggest chakir in all the Achronim is it that you're only allowed to metaltel that which you're making, or you're allowed to metaltel anything unless you're matzah? Okay, some want to say that's my quote from Yehuda Rav Shimon, which pervades Masechtos Shabbos and Beitzah, not for us bichlal. But there is a concept of muktzah and mukhan. Where do we get this idea that you have to be making what you need, what you want to use on Shabbos? There is a pasuk vayyabe yomashishi veichinu esasheyaviu, from which the Gemara Beitza learns what's called hachana deraba, right? What's called hachana deraba. Now hachana deraba is a very complicated concept. That seems most pashup shot and poskim assume, this is what we paskin, that an egg that was formed on Yontif, you can't eat on Shabbos because of this. It wasn't mukhan, didn't have the proper hachana. Okay, exactly how you apply that to all different kinds of scenarios is complicated. What the relationship is between the pasuk of hachana and our hilchos muktzah is exceedingly complicated. There's clearly in sahava mina nusachim that maybe all muktzah ties into that pasuk. Whether the maskana, so I'm not getting into this whole sugya. What's the relationship between our hilchos muktzah and that pasuk of veichinu es asher yaviu? Rashi, at least this Rashi, does not make much of a relationship, although the Rashi didn't seem different category of muktzah. The Raivid doesn't point out a relationship, the Rambam doesn't point out a relationship, but it could be that, and I'm not going to go so far as to say tiltal muktzah is an issue of raisa. That seems to be beyond the pale of acceptable shitas, but it could be that total motza is a drabbanan extension of the idea of hachana. The Ramban and the Melchamos in the beginning of Beitza brings up this issue, but it's not clear if he's talking about total motza or eating motza. So that's why I'm not promising you anything. But he says, no, it's very important, and it's very complicated to read him because he says like it's a gzira atu tilto, which is a funny, almost impossible thing to say that motza is a gzira atu tilto. So I admit that Ramban needs work, but he does bring up this idea that no, it's important that everything you prepare for Shabbos have been set aside and prepared mizolom. Because, you know, if everything's been set aside beforehand, then you're not likely to be Machalel Shabbos on your last-minute preparations. If things weren't set aside beforehand, then even if they're innocent things, you never know when the situation might come. But this is intuitive to us. If you prepare everything before Shabbos, then Shabbos will be Shabbos day. If you don't prepare everything before Shabbos, then Shabbos will be a day of, you know, best-case scenario, being very close to doing the wrong thing. And not to mention the fact that, A, from a practical perspective, the Ramban and the Melchamos, if you only use things that are prepared beforehand, you're more likely to have a better Shmir Shabbos. Also from a philosophical perspective, right? The whole completion of the Bria, the whole point of Shabbos is that, you know, everything is prepared beforehand, right? Mishatarach be'erev Shabbos, Yochal b'Shabbos. Now, again, I apologize for saying I'm not going to get into something four times, which is really not a nice thing to do. This has a lot more recourse if you're talking about eating moksa than total moksa. Then I really prove this as a real, you know, as an explicit sheet in many places. But it could be even when it comes to tiltal, the things you're moving around and using, you need hachana miba od yom. And then pshuta kemashma was just an inyan of moksa. So you could very well say that, based on the LP, HaPasuk, of Vehechinu, that no, there were just gozer, that you need hachana. Because Shabbos things need to be mukhan from before, and Vehechinu is a shayaviyu. So it could be that it's a stam, gzeiras hachana, and then that obviously makes a lot of sense in terms of all the halachas of mukhan, which all depends on what you were making, what you weren't making. So I think you go that way. Also, whether the Ramban means that or not is not 100% clear. The Ramban beginning of Beitza and the Melchamos, but he does have this idea. Everything should be prepared beforehand, otherwise you'll end up doing the wrong thing. Or just philosophically, everything should be prepared beforehand, because Shabbos is the day of everything having been prepared and now enjoying that, not the day of preparing new things.
Why can't you put that directly with Tzav? If you thought about it before, you know, you're less likely to do something else.
Correct, but I want to make it more broad. Oh. Right, and I think here you could take it either more practically, more practical, it could be more philosophical, or hashkafic, if you prefer a Hebrew word. Whichever way you take it, you know, it's either way. That might be a possibility, but in any case, what do I want to say? This is obviously a very, very big issue. What I want to claim is that this might correspond to the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here. And Rashi would then be Lashitase. Because, let's think about it for a second. You tell me if you think I'm wrong. I have no proof for this, just it's mistaber to me. If the reason you can't pick things, you can't be Batalta Mutsa on Shabbos because you might carry it outside, then what's more chumer? Just stop picking something up because I might carry it outside? Or actually, like, carrying it from Rosh Hashayachin to a Karmelist because I might carry it from Rosh Hashayachin, which is a Rabin. Seems obvious to me. An actual Hotzah, just in a slightly different place, is more Chomer Zera than just stop picking things up that I might someday carry the wrong place. Mm-hmm. That's intuitive to me.
Necessarily, Rabbanims are sometimes more Machmir than the Raisa.
No, these are both Rabbanims.
Yeah, but it's different levels. You see, so...
Okay, but you haven't explained.
But this is also the director just lacking some of the parameters.
I mean, exactly. Meaning the Otona Carmelis is Kain Doraisa. It's very similar to Doraisa. It's just that, you know, it doesn't have 600,000 people or whatever sheet you have. That seems a lot more Hummer than just, oh, don't pick something up because you might carry it someday. Nirlanis Daiti, I think you could say maybe an Afkamina is for our sugya. If you say that it's a gzera atu atzah, then it seems to be that Karmelis would be more chomer from mukta, because it's closer to Hotza'ah. And then Rashi would be Lishitasei. Rashi would be Lishitasei. If you said it's for these other reasons, then it's a bit of a toss-up. Go compare apples and oranges, what's more chamer. But you can definitely say that these other reasons, which are more fundamental to the nature of Shabbos, is more chamer than just like Zeri, you might do one particular thing. If it's only like Menucha and Shvisa and or Hachana, and just trying to make Shabbos the right kind of day, that might be more chamer than one particular action, which might lead to another particular action. So Nirlini is 90, that maybe you have Makom to say, like Tosos, that Mukta. It's hard to tell because it's apples and oranges, but it's at least quite possible that Mukta is chamer mi karmelis. And not just possible, but if Mukta is more generally about Shabbos, and karmel is more specifically about one of the 39, it could be that Xera that's about the general nature of Shabbos is more chamer than Xera that's only about one of the 39 malachos, even though all 39 malachos we shouldn't violate. But it's mistaber, especially since, you know, you're talking a general versus specific. It's mistaber to be a general problem might be more chamer than a specific problem. In which case, Rashi worked out very well with Shitase. I just want to point out one thing as an aside, which is that the Ravid says he has a Mefurish Gemara on his side. Didn't he? He said it. Is it true? Sort of. Says the Ravid. I don't know if you noticed this. It's important to notice whether someone says they have a Mefurish Gemara on their side or not. And then look it up and see if they're telling the truth. Kosovar Ravid Zal. Od Amru. Atu Tilto Lav Tzorachot Sahu. They said, isn't Tiltal a necessity of Hotza'ah? Nimsak in Echiv Hotza'ah, Asru B'Tiltal. Okay, what is he referring to? The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, Daf. Okay, his language is not so clear, I realize. But Amru means Amru. Says here, they wanted to say, V'machlok is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is more machmir by Mukta. They said, how do we know? Because Beis Shammai, this is basically the Makor of Rashi and Beitza, says you're not allowed to carry on Yontif. So the Gemara says, Eimet Shem Shalib Yishamai Otzah. We know Beis Shammai is Makor and Otzah. Tiltal Mishamai, how do we know the Makor and Tiltal? The Gemara says, Tiltal Gufi Lav Misham Otzahi. The Gersa in our printing is even more explicit than the Ravid's Gersa. Tiltal Gufi Lav Misham Otzah isn't Tiltal because of Otzah. Yeah, most Rishonim's Gersa is Sorach Otzah. Isn't Tiltal necessary to do Otzah? But it sounds pretty explicitly like on the Kuf Kuf Dalid, Tiltal is Usher as a Gzeira Atu Hotzah. That is what it sounds like. One second. So, what are you going to say about this? It seems like a Mefurish Gemara. Here, this we're done with our sugya. Just making another point. Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis at the top, says Tiltal. It's Tzorech Hotzah. The Yisur of Tiltal is connected to Hotzah. Says Tiltal. Tzorech Hotzah. Sounds like Rashi and the Ravid, which is where Rashi gets it from. Rashi's in Beitza is that same Mishnah of Tiltal, Kotan, Malulav, that is in Shabbos, and the Ravid quotes more in Shabbos. What is the Rambam going to say back? Okay, forget about my third possibility. You could just say, I made it up. It's wrong. What's the Rambam going to say back? And then, maybe you can also defend the other possibility.
One of the reasons.
So, but the Rambam doesn't even count it as one of the reasons. The Rambam gives three reasons, and none of them are Mishum Otzah.
I mean, shall I say Malacha?
No, because he says only a Klish Malachal Isser you might do a Malacha with. Mm-hmm. Not a Klish Malachal Heter. So I think the answer is, here it's okay, for the Rambam, it's going to be a little tricky, I admit. Okay, the Rambam Tzorchi and how maybe somehow you'll understand it more differently, you don't assume you don't possibly like it. It's a little tricky, but, because something you just pointed out makes it a little tricky. But what the Rav said is, how do you defend it? Right? So number one, you could say we don't hold like this Gemara. Right? We don't hold like that Gemara. How do you not hold like a Gemara? After all, the Gemara is the Gemara, and you're not. Okay, the answer is, you know, Shari Pilpo Lonin Alu. You can always say that Gemara is a leave to this, and we're leaving something, you know, I leave it to, I'm sure if you look up the Sefer Mafteach in the back of that Rambam, you'll find plenty of answers. But the Rav said, a very famous word, I just want to mention it, because it's such a famous word in the Rav. The Rav said, and it's so sharp, the truth is, this Vart is Machlokes Bungin Avram and Grun, a few places in the Shulchan Aruch or Chaya, which that's a little off topic for us. But the Rav obviously fits better with the Gra. That was his, in general, his hero more than the Bungin Avram. Says the Rav, there are actually two Gamre different. There are, now this also you'll have to work in the Sugyan Kochav Dalet, I'm not saying it's Vlat, but the Rav says there are actually two different Xeros entirely. There is mukta, and there is klishem lachto le'isser, tiltal kalim. Mukta is one isser. Tiltal kalim is a different isser. Where does he get that from? He gets that from a simple idea. Now here, again, I'm going to apologize for just not getting into things. I'm also going to apologize to those who don't like the air conditioning, but not quite as deeply. What does the Klish Malachal Isser have to do with? You know, there are two different frameworks, Klish Malachal Isser and Mukta. Mukta, you're not allowed to carry at all. Klish Malachal Isser, you're allowed to carry in Tzorch Guful, Tzorch Mekomo, not Mechama Letzel, etc. The Magen Avram thinks there are no other differences. The Gra thinks there are a million differences between them. So, what's Peshat Klish Malachal Isser? Either something Mukta or it's not Mukta. So, some Achronim say, Mukta is you set it aside from your son Shabbos Legamre. Klish Malachal Isser is you set it aside half heartedly from your son Shabbos. It's half mukta. So if it's half mukta, it's half usher and half mutter. Shalom al Yisrael. But the Rav says, no. There's a different marechet entirely, because after all, a klisha machtel leheter, you definitely plan to use on Shabbos. And what does the Gemara say about Nehemiah? He was first gozer even on klisha machtel leheter. He made some exceptions, so he went mamish like, but very few exceptions. He was gozer even klisha, and then he went back and mantered klisha machtel leheter and left klisha machtel leisser usher. So, therefore, what do we see? We see that really Nehemiah's Gzeira was not a Klish Lachal Isser and Usser. It was really an old Caleb. Then he mounted the Lachal Heter and gave you back Lachal Isser. Not only that, according to most posts, the Mishnah Berurah in this way, even a Klish Lachal Heter has an Isser. You're not allowed to move it for no reason. Right? Okay, whether fidgeting is a reason or not is a machlokus between 100 years ago and nowadays. But nowadays our meaning is clear. But says the Rav, now this will all work well for Rashi and the Reifet. Yeah, he asked even Klish Malachal Heter, and it has nothing to do with Makta or not, it's just to do with what he was chozer or Mater. But says the Rav, no. This is the Marechet of the Gzeres Nehemiah. There's one Gzera that comes from Nehemiah. That Atu Hotsah, he wanted to asher all Kalim, and in the end he compromised and let you have a few. Or let you have half the Kalim. Then the Mutsa, Mutsa is from Echinus Sheyaviyu, Mikrabatan. Mukta is things that are set aside from you, so Klish Malachal Isser is not Mukta at all. A klisha machtel isser is just an isser of tiltal kalim, atar otzah. And the Rav says, there's an isser chefta, an isser gabra. Mukta is an isser chefta, a chefta you were makta. Klisha machtel isser is not half mukta. It's 0% mukta. That's an isser gabra that Nehemiah says, don't carry unnecessarily, or don't carry too much, because you might come to do otzah. And therefore, he makes, again, Gra versus Magen Avraham, not our topic now, many, many differences. Like, for example, the Gra says, if you already picked up a klisha lachal isser, then you can keep carrying it as much as you want. As an isser gabra, once you picked it up, you picked it up. If you already picked up something mukta, you have to drop it as soon as you realize. Okay, so anyway, says the Rav.
Maybe can't you go better than that even?
Yeah, just 1 second. Says the Rav, there's beis dinim, there is mukta, which is an isser cheftza, alpi, the Heichinu, obviously Midrabanan, and then there is Kli Shemalachto Le'isser, or even Leheter, that is an Isser Gavra, and that is a Gzeira Atu Hotzah. So basically, what the Rav did is he split the differences. There's Tzvei Dinim, and this is a good Tzvei Dinim. It's not like he made up Tzvei Dinim from no place. We clearly know in all of Shas, Mokta has its rules, Klish Malachal Isser has its rules. There's one or two sugyas which connect them, but most sugyas of one seem to ignore the other, and the other seem to ignore one. Says the Rav, two totally different, one of the third possibility of Eichinu, and one of the first possibility of maybe tying into the Rambam a little, and the one the Rashi and the Raivin. Okay, Lemaisa, what do you do with this Gemara and Shabbos? Either Rashi and the Raivin take it all away, or you can somehow deny that we pass like that Gemara and Shabbos, or deny that it means that, although it's much harder. Or you can say, the Rav, there's Svei Dinim, he's talking about mukta, like stones. So that he admits is a mukta. Okay, that's about it for now.
Once you say that one is the Divrei the Chazal and one is the Divrei the Rebbe, once you get to the famous Ramban and the Rambam and all the something which is the Yisod of the Divrei the Rebbe.
No, I'm not saying it's the Divrei the Rebbe. I mean, even the Rambam.
Well, it's like Zeres Nehemia.
No, I don't think Zeres Nehemia counts as you're saying more than well, Esther is also Psuven.
The Sadev Hanamil Dodo.
Okay, interesting. I hear the Taina. Okay. Now, this is all one way to defend Rashi. However, there's another
question. I don't know if I learned it carefully, but there's a Tosfos in Beitza. I thought Tosfos was saying like Rashi should do.
In Daf Yud Beis?
Yeah.
He starts out by quoting Rashi.
Okay.
And then he says, he starts out saying Rashi should do because he's quoting Rashi. Okay. But that doesn't count. And then he says, and Rashi's pshat in this Gemara is wrong.
Ah.
Now, he doesn't necessarily say what he thinks about Rashi, whether Rashi Pshat and Mukta is right or wrong. He just said, that has nothing to do with this Gemara. This Gemara is not about Mukta at all. Rashi says, the Gemara in Beit says a connection of Mukta and Hotzah. Tos says, you got it totally wrong, that's not what it means at all. Basically, the Gemara asks, if there's no Isser Hotzah, stone should be okay. Rashi says, that means there should be no Mukta, because Mukta is Ato Hotzah. Tos says, you're totally wrong, that's not what this Gemara is talking about at all. What it means is, carrying stone should be okay if there's no Isser Hotzah. And there should be no Israel, there should be no Malkos for Hotzah of stones. And it's all an internal Hotzah. So again, it's not mentioning Mukta at all. So I'm not going to say it's Tosel Shitasa, because all they do is say, this sugya is irrelevant to Mukta. They don't say, I hold a different Shita. But it would work out well that Rashi and Beitza said something which would match what Rashi says here. And Tosos doesn't say the opposite, just says, that's irrelevant, and I'm not talking about this in our sugya. Thank you. Now, this is all one derech to defend Rashi. However, there's another way to defend Rashi. What's the other way to defend Rashi? I think it's a good derech to defend Rashi. I think you put two and two together, it works out. However, there's another way to defend Rashi, which is also l'shitase. So it's also tempting. What's the second way to defend Rashi? What's the second way to defend Rashi? The second way to defend Rashi is enachanami. Tosus is right that mokta is chomer, more chomer than karmelis. If mukta is more chomer than karmelis, then they were matur mukta for the bathroom. Why weren't they matur karmelis also? What do you have to answer? What's another way to defend Rashi? Rashi admits mukta is more chomer than karmelis. Now Rashi's in trouble. If mukta is more chomer than karmelis, why are you allowed to be metaltal mukta to wipe yourself in the bathroom and not carry dalet amos in a karmelis or from a karmelis to a house? So, one of the achronim says this. Maybe this is the Archlaner's pshat. I think this is the Archlaner's pshat, but it doesn't matter whose pshat it is. The first pshat is the Prima Gaudim's pshat. If you like Achronim, I'm supposed to like Achronim, right? I quote them all the time. So this is the Prima Gaudim, and the Sfas Emes says this at least at first. Right? And it's also in the Sfas Emes here. Sfas Emes questions that the Prima Gaudim says it's Tam. This second pshat is the Archlaner's pshat, if you like to name Achronim. It's also someone's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, the Tosefta Shabbos is pshat. It's one of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch Orchaim that's not on the page. Okay, he says, what's pshat? Mukta is more chomer than karmelis, but, so what's Rashi's pshat? But, mukta plus karmelis is more chomer than mukta. The choice here is not between mukta versus karmelis. The choice is between violating mukta by carrying them and violating mukta and karmelis at the same time by carrying them from a karmelis into an outhouse with walls. Two isurs were chomer than one isur. And then what would Rashi Shita be? Rashi Shita would be that the hitiru isur to Rabbanan echad Mishum Kavra Brios. For Kavra Brios, they're matter one drabonin. Velo Shnayim. So it's not that Rashi didn't want a matter karmelis. If you could have been matter karmelis, he would have been matter karmelis without mukta or mukta without karmelis. If there's a hechi tendency of karmelis without mukta. But he won't be matter two isurim at the same time. And that's a different answer of Rashi. It's not that karmelis is all chomer, it's that two isurim is more chomer than one isur. In which case, what's the yisod hamachlokes? The yisod hamachlokes then is that according to Rashi, Kishahitiru
Isser Drabanan. Hitiru Isser Echad Veloshnayim.
They were matter one Drabanan, but they weren't matter two Drabanans at the same time.
And Tosos would say no. Kishehitiru Isser Drabanan. Hitiru Hafilu Shnei Yisurim. Obviously, two Yisurim Drabanan.
Now, this would work out very nicely with Shitasim as well. Now, of course, not every case there are matter drabanan is the same. There are matter for Kabbalah Brios, there are matter for different cases, not the same. But it's amazing that Rashi and Tosfos work out Lishitasam in Erevin Daf Lamed Hey. What does it say in Erevin? In Erevin Daf Lamed Hey, the context is that there's a halacha. An Erev is only valid. Let's say you put the food down to make an Erev, right? Yeah. Let's say an Erev. It actually doesn't matter what kind of Erev. An Erev Tumen, let's say. You put the food down someplace you are 2,000 amos radius from there on Shabbos. It's only valid if you could access and eat your Erev when Shabbos starts. Meaning, Erev has to be food. It only counts as food if it's food you can eat. And it has to be food you can eat when Shabbos starts, because that's when the Erev is kabbal. So when Shabbos starts, you go Bein HaShmashos. Yeah?
But if Rashi's saying that Muksa is a Gzera unto Hatzah, so
mm-hmm.
It's karma least, and it's not. It's all one basket.
Okay. That is an interesting point. Apparently, Rashi thinks even two gzeros that are for the same reason count as two isurim according to this mahalach. But I understand you can mechalik you. It's a very good point. Now, let me just make the point for Irvin, then I'll repeat what Morty said. Basically, it has to be edible during Bina Shmashos. Now, the Gemara discusses all kinds of cases where it's edible physically, but halachically, there's some isser to access it. So, and then they deal with, what if it would be Chil Shabbos to access it? Then it's not edible. It's not a valid Eruv. But we hear about Bnei Shmashos. In Bnei Shmashos, there are matter drabanans for Tzorach Hayom, for Tzorach Shabbos. So if it's only an isser drabanan to get to it, then it'll be okay. Okay, that's the background. Then they have this very complicated case where they say it's in a closet, which is locked, and you lost the key. Now, you can't get there without breaking it, so it's a problem. You can't eat it on Shabbos. So, the Gemara then says, and you need a knife. It's a case where it's tied shut with all kinds of ropes and chains. You need a knife to open it. And what's the problem? The problem is that this is the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah, who says you can't carry a knife on Shabbos except for the sake of some other mukhan object, and this is not a mukhan object. Okay, so Rabbi Nechemiah says you're not allowed to carry a knife on Shabbos. So, Rashi says, and here's the interesting question. What do you mean, why not just say it's usher because you are demolishing this closet by cutting it open on Shabbos? So here's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Says Rashi, where are we? Erev in Daf Lamed Hey, and I know this is very complicated. So says Rashi, if you didn't need a knife, it would only be a drabanan demolishing. Because you're not really breaking the actual closet, you're just breaking the ropes that hold it closed. So it's a drabanan demolishing, and drabanans are mutter during Bnei Shmashos. But if you need a knife, then it's usher during Bnei Shmashos. Says Tosfos, what do you mean? If drabanan are mutter Bnei Shmashos, carrying a knife is also drabanan, should be mutter Bnei Shmashos. So Tosfos says, rather, the etzema focus here is Rashi holds that the closet counts as karka, so it's shy to be so served drabanan. Tosfos says the closet counts as a, probably not a machlok is what it counts as, but what it is, what's the tziur, what's the contingency, it counts as a kli, an ain tziur b'kelim, and therefore there's no problem at all. Basically, Tosfos says, if one drabanan is mutter Bnei Shmashos, two drabanans are also mutter during Bnei Shmashos. And therefore, you're allowed to do even two or three or four drabanans at the same time during Bnei Shmashos. They weren't gozer and drabanan during Bnei Shmashos. Rashi says, no, you can do one drabanan Bnei Shmashos. With your hand, you can rip the ropes. And so sir drabanan. But you can't do two drabanans of tiltel sak and lefi rab nechemio. We don't pass them like that. That's not our point. And demolishing ropes at the same time. So then, the achronim point out that Rashi and Tosfos work beautifully, lishitasam here, right? Then it would be lishitasam. Here's Kavanah Brios. Here's Kavanah Brios. Here is Bein HaShmashos.
that when it comes to Erevin, Daf Lamed Hayam and Aleph, Rashi says, Hitiru Isser Durabanan Echad Bein Hashmashos, but not two Isserim. Yet, you're allowed to metaltal l'sakin and not demolish. You're allowed to demolish a stira durabanan and not metaltal l'sakin. But you can't metaltal l'sakin and do soser durabanan. While Toso says, no, kishe hitiru, hitiru, afilu, beizi surim. In which case, if you take this approach, and Morty says, they're not necessarily comparable. One, they're not comparable. You could say the nature of the heter ben shmasho is different from the nature of the heter kovet abrios, right? Or, as Morty says, maybe there's a difference between two drabanans that are the same reason versus two drabanans that are different reasons. 100%. But it still is an amazing coincidence, then, that Rashi and Tosfos work out well. Oh, here for kovet abrios, one shot of Rashi is that Rashi says they're only meant to do one iser, not two iser. Tosfos says, well, they're meant to do many iser you need. Either it's aser or it's mutter. And likewise, in Bein HaShmashos, Tos says, if they're a matter, they're a matter. It's also a matter. If they're a matter, they're a matter. Rashi says, they're a matter to do one Isser, but not two Isser. Okay, then it'll work out very well as she toss them. If you would ask, and here, I'm not going to commit myself, but well, what's the Yisod, what's lying underneath that? You excavate a little. What's lies underneath this Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos? You could say, just technically, okay, when they're a Banu or Meiko, the matter, they argued, how are they matter? Or you could say maybe they're arguing something much deeper, more philosophical here, which, you know, is its own sukya. Meaning, I'll say like this. They could both agree two drabbanans are worse than one drabbanan. They argue, but how makel were the drabbanan? Were they makel even two or only one? Or you could say, no, they argue fundamentally. Are two drabbanans worse than one drabbanan? If I do something which is drabbanan twice, or for two reasons, is that more machra than something that's Asur Abundant for one reason? Maybe, if it's Asur Abundant, it's Asur Abundant. Those things is multiple reasons. By Dog Rices, that's different. Yesh Chorish Telem Echad, and gets eight Malkios. Yesh Ochel Kzais Echad, and brings five Kor. By Dog Rices, I understand. If I do something that's two Lavim, that's worse than one Lav. I get double Malkus. If I do something that's five, 40 Sere Kores, that's worse than one Isser Kores. I bring four Kaktuses Beshogi. But by Dog Abundant's, is it really worse to do something the Rabbanan asserted twice than something the Rabbanan asserted once? Maybe not. If they asserted, they asserted. We're not counting here. So it could be that's the machlokas. This might be totally on the famous Chakira, made famous by a lot of people, by the Meshech Chacham at the beginning of Shoftim, and by the Asven Doraisa in Klal. Someone help me out here. Either Tess or Gud, I forget. As to... And really, by it's almost explicit in many Rishonim, the nature of Isurid Rabbanan, right? Are Isurid Rabbanan intrinsically usur because of that category the Rabbanan placed on them? Or no, there's one general Isur of violating the Xeris of the Rabbanan, right? So you could ask, is Isurid Rabbanan Isur Klali? Lo Sasur. Either you were Sar or you weren't Sar. But those things as being more Sar. Oh, or no, Isser Rabbanan are prati. Every Isser Rabbanan creates a certain chalos on the object, and the more Isser Rabbanan on it, the worse it is. You can also ask that it's Chetze Gavra, it's just the Gavra should listen to Rabbanan, where the Chetze actually becomes Asser Rabbanan. You could ask it metaphysically, the Asher Derais says, when the Rabbanan say not to do something, is it just that they said not to do it, or they actually metaphysically change the Chetze to be an evil Chetze? Okay, these are all ways of asking the same question. Basically, is it just either the Rabbanan say it's okay or it's not okay, but there's no shaykh to have quantity, because either it's okay or not okay. There's nothing more deeper than that, or no. Every time the Rabbanan asks something, it becomes worse. If they ask her twice, it becomes twice as worse, as bad. Three times as bad. So there may be a fundamental machlokas here, again, if you just ask, and then give me 1 second, Aaron. What's the nekudas hamachlokas? You could say there are two possibilities for the nekudas hamachlokas. You could say, the more, less philosophical way, L'kule alma beis isurim dirabbanan is more chomer me isur echad v'nechleku ad kama hikilu. They both agree, two isur was versus one isur. They just argue, how much were they makel? Were they makel even two isur or only one isur? It's a judgment call. I don't know, it's important reasons. How much were they makel? Or... No. Nechleku ha'im
Beis Isurim midrabanan are more chamer may Isur Echad Olo.
In which case, it might be more philosophical about the nature of Isurim drabanan. Aaron.
No.
Okay.
Maybe Muktzah doesn't have the status bring us muscles that Shari Surim
has. Okay, but again, I don't think that's going to affect what we're talking about now.
What?
It's on that Gemara. Well, so why is Tilta in Sakal Fear of Nechemia a problem there?
Because Muktzah Rein HaShmashos, there's no Hefer. They don't have the Hefer throughout
them. Interesting. Okay, well, leave that for your turn. Yes?
Methodologically, with what you're doing now, you think that Rashi and Tosfot could have such different philosophical approaches about the nature of the Suri Drabana?
I think they might. I can't prove it. If I could prove it, I would have proved it to
you. But you don't have...
It's possible.
Well, because there are other terutsim that are...
I understand. So I say it's possible. When I can bring evidence, I'll bring evidence. If not, I say it's possible.
They thought things philosophically, the other areas...
And the same thing you call philosophical, someone can just call thinking about something. We're not talking Aristotle and the act of intellect here. We're just talking about thinking things through. You can call it philosophy, you can call it
Torah. The first example you did with the Rambam and Rashi, those are two different approaches, completely different.
No, but all I'm saying is they could be arguing about whether a double Drabbanan is more chumer than a single Drabbanan or not. That you don't need philosophy for.
Oh, really?
Okay, and then the philosophy is just how you look at it. Okay, bye.
Does that mean that Kain Doraita Tikkun is simply on the technical level, and we're moving that from the outside the philosophical.
Okay, you're right. This would affect the whole question of Kain Doraita Tikkun 100%. I agree. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara then. Says the Mishnah, Ein Ognes Halul Vel Mino Divri Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Mafil Bechut Vimeshicha, or different yourselves, but it's the same idea. Even in some string that is not its min. We already analyzed this on Daf Lamed Aleph. They would use perhaps some chains of gold, which proves that you don't need Mino. Yehuda said, no, you got the Metzius wrong, you got the history wrong. Of course they would use these golden things. That was famous, everyone knows that. But what you didn't realize is that was just decoration, that wasn't the Eged. Underneath, there's actually a piece of Lulav, which is Eged Bemino. So Amar Rava, Afilu b'Siv, Afilu b'Ikra d'Ditla. Says Rava, this is also quoted earlier, that when it says Mino, it doesn't have to be the part of the plant that we use for the mitzvah. It just has to be any part of that same plant. Just has to be literally its species, not like we do. Nowadays, we don't even use Rava's Kula. We agree with it. We just don't do it. We use actual lulav leaves that are from the actual lulav. Okay, they're a little whiter because they're a little more dry to make those kaishalach, or whatever else we tie it with. But we don't have to. We could use any part of a palm tree, even siv, which is the sort of stringy stuff. You ever seen a palm tree on the bottom? There's the stringy stuff growing around it. And even ikrit dikla, even the wood. Okay, how do you make an egg out of wood? You'd have to be a little more skillful. You could use any part of the palm tree, and I assume any part of the other three trees also. This is going to tie into the svara of Afilu Basir, Afilu Ikru Dikla is going to be revealed by his next two statements. Vamarava, Maikam, and Rabbi Huda. What's Rabbi Huda's reason? Remember, where it says, Nax is more Huder that way. Kasavar Lulav Sarach Eged, it's for a technical reason. Because Lulav needs an Eged. The Eged is considered part of the Chet of Lulav, and Lulav has to be four species. If you use the different men, it would be five species, it would be a chash of Baltosif. As we discussed at great length, and we're not going to repeat now, of Amar Rava. So Rava says, the reason is because of Baltosif, just the shame min. Right? That's why the Gemara says, it's not to look pretty, because Sivanik Radikla don't look prettier than gold. No, it's just to not have an additional shame min, which would be Baltosif. And now we just have to prove one more thing. How does he know that a different part of that plant counts as the same min? Again, if you're talking botanically, min meaning species, like in modern Hebrew, obviously any part of the palm tree is the same min. But min doesn't mean species in English. Min means the halacha geder of a min, right? How do we know the halacha geder of the min includes the whole tree and not just the part of the tree used for the mitzvah? So he says we can deduce this from a brisa of Rabbi Yehuda. How so? The tanya b'sukkas teishru sukkah shel kol davar divrei meir.
Right? We obviously follow Rebbe. You can build a sukkah out of anything. Rebbe Yehuda Amar ain't sukkah no helos el b'dal minim shemalulav. No, you only use. You have to build a sukkah out of the arba minim. Right? You ever go to Neot Kedumim? Right? To see their sukkah. Do they have that all year long? Only sukkahs they have it. All year long. They have a sukkah display. They build sukkahs from everything in the Mishnah. They build a sukkah like that, right? They build a sukkah less than 10 tefachim, a sukkah higher than 20 av, and a sukkah al-gabi sukkah. And I think once upon a time they had the sukkah on the camel, and then we got more liberal, and now they have a camel enjoying himself, and next to him a sukkah that could be put on him if we were, you know, not so machbid. And they have a sukkah on a boat, etc. And they don't only have Mishnayos, they also do braces. And they have a Yehuda sukkah. A sukkah made out of the dalad minim. They don't have, you have to use all four. They use a couple of the dalad minim to make the sukkah. That's okay. Good for them. They should, you know, the 12 of them who are left should, sein gesund und stark. So he says it has to be made out of the arba minim. Okay, this is very fascinating. In terms of, you know, what's the relationship between sukkah and lulav, right? Obviously, we do them both on the same holiday. You know, to what extent are they part of, and here I probably mean more philosophically, alpilumnus, so I don't really have anything to go with this. But it's interesting, are they two things that happen to be at the same time, or that come from some similar idea, but are different to kiyumim, or no, is there one joint kiyum? Clearly, for Rabbi Yehuda, we see that he's putting them together a lot more. Interestingly, many of us know that there's a Masorah from the Ari, which the Poskim quotes, which many, some of us do, some of us don't do, whatever our father and grandfather did, to bench lulav in the sukkah. Right? I don't know if that's in the Rishonim, but it's interesting. Why bench lulav in the sukkah? Obviously, this is echoing the same sort of general hashkafic question for Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, even though we pass like Rabbi Meir, still they are re-understood. There is some joint kiyum of lulav and sukkah, and therefore the most ideal way to be mekayim lulav and sukkah is to shake lulav in a sukkah.
Couldn't you just call it wrenching lulav is something you do like you do, so you have to do
paint a durum. Maybe, but it doesn't sound like that's why. You know, the, okay.
I think most people, that's what they think nowadays when they do.
Okay, Seder. Anyway, but that's, we're not going to dwell on this. Then he, Rabbi Yehuda says why he has a shita. After all, it clearly doesn't say this in the Chumash. So he says, but didn't know saying it's a kabachomer malul she no gulilch yamin no yor minim sukh she no gulilch yamin din shlo te yal bar ba saminim. If lulav, which is only chayiv in the daytime, you have to use these four species. Sukkah, which are chayiv during the day and the night, so it's more chomer, for sure you have to use these four species. Amr lo, kol din she atadon tchi losa lahakar, so for the hakel, eino din. They said to him, no, that's not a valid kabachomer. A kabachomer says, if it's more chomer, it gets a chomra. You think only using the arba minim is a chumrah. But that starts the chumrah and ends up as a kula. How so? Lo matz arba minim, yoshev batel. After all, what if someone lives someplace where he can't find these four minim? Then he's not going to have a sukkah b'chlal, and he'll just eat in his house. Therefore, you think it's a chumrah, you have to triach yourself to go find these four minim for the sukkah. That's fine. It's a chumrah in some cases, but it could lead to a kula. After all, if someone's in Siberia and these species don't grow there, then he could have used the wood that grows in Berlin, Siberia. Now, according to you, he won't sit in a sukkah of a cloud, he'll eat in his house, and he'll be in vatel yasei. That's a kula. Okay, and therefore, any kabachomer, which you think is chumrah, but ends up being kal, is not a valid kabachomer.
Why is the one who's considered a kula?
Ah, okay, so give me a second there. And Tosus points out that this is the same yesod as a machlokus in the same Tanaim, Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. In Psachim, where Rabbi Yehuda learns through a kavachomer from Nosar, that we see that chametz more chomer than Nosar, so if Nosar has to be burnt, then in your chametz el b'sreifa, you have to burn your chametz. And the chametz say the same thing to him. You think it's a chomer and it's a valid kavachomer, it's really a kula. Fine, it's a chomer for most people. You can't just flush it down the toilet, you have to burn it. Big chomer. But for some people, it'll be a kula, because what if you live someplace where you have no wood? Then you won't destroy your chametz at all, and it will be a kula. Okay, that's the Taina, and Tosos assumes that, it's the same exact machlokas. Therefore, either you have to paskin the same way in both cases, like most Rishonim, like we paskin, like the Chachamim here, you can build a sukkah however you want,
And like Chachamim there, you can destroy chametz however you want. We pass it's only a hit or a chumra to burn your chametz. You can really destroy it any way you want. Tosos, interestingly, Paskin, like Rabbi Huda there, that you actually aim your chametz over Sreifa, and then it's the stira here. Tosos answers, I'm not getting into the details because I think they're clear enough in Tosos, we pass like Rabbi Huda there, but not because of the Kal Vachomer for a totally different reason. But we don't Paskin like his Kal Vachomers. Okay, so we clearly reject the Kal Vachomer of Yehuda, because we say any din that's chilas ulahakner of sofa ulahakal is not a Kal Vachomer. And even according to Tosos, minority of Rishon, who possibly from Yehudim Sachem, it's not because this Kal Vachomer we reject it. It's because of a totally different sara. And he works out the cheshbon very nicely. Now,
how come this Kal Vachomer wasn't that lulav noig sheva? And sukkah noig sheva and lulav el
miyom. Maybe because he wanted to cover even the mikdash. Here it's interesting. What's the yisod of this fascinating machlokas? And does it have to do with what Aaron asked or not? Here I have no proofs. I found a lot of achronim who asked various stiras, but no one who sort of took on head on. What are they arguing about? But it's a fascinating question. And I think also here you could understand them as arguing in two ways, which is really what Aaron was hinting at. Here we have the Chachamim. What do the Chachamim say? Kal Vachomer Shetchilaso Lehakel Vesofo Lehachmir. No. Lehachmir Vesofo Lehakel Eino Kal Vachomer. What does Rabbi Huda say back? The Gemara never says what Rabbi Huda says back, right? What does Rabbi Huda say back to them? So, I can think of two ways of understanding what Rabbi Huda says back to them. One way is, what would Rabbi Huda say? One way is, he says no. Kal vachomer shetchilaso lehachmir v'sofo lehakel. Kal vachomer. It is a Kal vachomer. I mean, they argue about the technical rules of Kal vachomer. It was, what's their yesod of the machlokes? The yesod hamachlokes is the rules of Kal vachomer. The chachamim holchem achar hasof. And Rabbi Yehuda holech Achar Hatchila. Okay, he says, I don't care about the sof, I care about the tchila. A Kal Vachomer is one step, I get this chomra. What it'll lead to in the sof is not relevant. The rules of Kal Vachomer don't take into account the sof. After all, everything will lead to everything in the end. The butterfly flapping from China will lead to everything. That we don't care about. We only care about the tchila. And the Chacham care about the sof. Okay, they argue about the technical rules of Kal Vachomer. That's one way of saying it. And that's probably what most people assume. Maybe. You could say, and do I know? Well, maybe. You could say that no, Rabbi Huda admits that Sofa Lahakel is not a Kal Vachomer. No, Monde Rabbi Huda. De'im Sofa Lahakel Eino Kal Vachomer. He admits that that's not a Kal Vachomer. He doesn't argue the rules of Kal Vachomer. But Aval Savar de ze, or what's the case here? The case is you're stuck because you don't have four species. Or in the parallel suffering, you're stuck because you don't have wood. Basically, you don't do a mitzvah because you can't possibly do it. What do we call that in halachic terminology? Onus, right? Savar de onus. Lo nikra kula. Maybe the Chacham thing, it's called a kula, your anus, you won't do it. And Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's not called a kula. What do you mean? If you don't do a mitzvah, that's not a kula. If you don't do a mitzvah, you violated the mitzvah. I understand. Hashem doesn't punish you because anus are from a patriarch. But that's not a kula to violate a mitzvah. It's a kula to be exempt from the mitzvah and not have to do the mitzvah in the first place. But to violate a mitzvah and get an excused absence, that's not a kula. So it could be, what's the yesod hamachlokes then? The yesod hamachlokes then is how we look at sort of machlokas is how we look at hane'enas v'lo asa mitzvah. The Chachamim say that this is a kula, and Rabbi Yehuda says this is not a kula, it's a chumrah. He missed out on the mitzvah, right? It's a chumrah. It's an interesting question, right? Again, I don't mean to put this in the grossest terms. Like, I did a mitzvah, I did a wonderful mitzvah, and you tried to do the mitzvah, but you couldn't. Right? The bus broke down. So is that a kula or a chumrah? And again, I'm not saying, it depends on your shamayim. Someone who really doesn't have your shamayim says, oh, great, I don't have to do a mitzvah. So with your shamayim, I'm so upset I missed out on the mitzvah. Obviously, that's not the... I don't want to say that's the machlokas here, whether we love mitzvahs or we hate mitzvahs. The famous joke, right, Hashem? Even though that's not necessarily onus, that's a p'tor. Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu, says, Abraham, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is a very painful surgical procedure you'll have to undergo at the age of 99. The good news is no tachna. I don't like that example though. I just wanted to say the joke. I'll tell you why in a moment. Here it's interesting. What underlies this? Meaning, this doesn't seem to be a purely technical issue. Like, if you think Kalvachomer, what underlies how you look at Kalvachomer? At a certain point, I'm just going to say Yud Gimel Mido Shator Nedreshes Bahem. There's a Masora Alach Lomosh Misina. It is what it is. When it comes to this, what underlies, is it a chumrah or kula to miss out on a mitzvah? Maybe you could say, I found two places in the modern achronim, the achronim that you guys never like when I quote, and that my rebbeim would not like when I quote. So I won't quote them. I'll just mention that I found in some of the later achronim, the Chelkas Yoav, Hashut Chelkas Yoav, four Chalakim, right? Or Chaim Yerodev and Ezra Choshmishvot. And the after Choshmishvot, he has Kuntres B'dinei Ones. So in Kuntres B'dinei Ones, part four, Anaf Dalid. And the same Chakira is in the Asvin D'Oraisa of Yosef Engel, Klal Yud Gimel, has a fascinating Chakira. Now, the reason why I'm not promising anything here is because there's clearly a mainstream answer to this Chakira, one way. It doesn't seem to be a 50-50 machlokas. But if someone's nenas and can't do a mitzvah saseh, I'm not talking about someone who does a lot. We're talking about mitzvah saseh here. Someone's nenas, they can't do a mitzvah saseh. Are they exempt from the mitzvah saseh? Or are they chayiv in the mitzvah saseh, but they're not blameworthy for violating it? Is it a p'tor? Or is it a hatzdakah? For example, are they a bar chiyuva? Right? Are they a bar chiyuva? They discuss, can they be motzi someone else? Can someone who's honest and not able to do a mitzvah be motzi someone else? Are they a bar chiyuva or not? Now again, you have to have a funny case, but the old question is, someone who can't hear, if you assume the mitzvah blowing shofar is hearing, and you have to make a lot of assumptions, they blow for other people, do you say they're not a bar chiyuva or they are a bar chiyuva? They also discuss the Mishnah Melech's discussion, someone who can't talk, is he a bar chiyuva in mikra bikurim or not? Paradoxically, if he's a bar chiyuva in mikra bikurim, then he can't bring bikurim without doing the mikra, and he doesn't do anything. If he's not a bar chiyuva in mikra bikurim, then he brings bikurim without kriya. Similar questions of tashlumin, even though the answer seems to be clear, but some people try to get out of it. Right? If you were nenas for the entire time of doing a mitzvah, of doing a tefillah, do you have to make it up? If you're pater mein kara, no. That's what we clearly see. We seem to paskin most of these things that he is a bar chiyuva. He just has an excuse. But if you want to say, which would not fit the Chacham here, which is why I'm not promising anything, and maybe it's more subtle, but maybe you could say that this is totally on the Chakira of the Chelkas Yoav in Dini Onis, Simen Dalet, and the Asvin D'Oraisa in Klal Yud Gimel. Maybe you could say, maybe, Ulai Toloi, the Chakira, the Inyan, Onus Milakayim Mitzvah, do you say that, and here's what you say, that he is Potter Ligamre, or that he's Chayiv in the Mitzvah, just he doesn't get punished for not doing it because he has a valid excuse. If you want to say an onus is pater legamrei from the mitzvah, then taka tzakula. The kula is you become exempt from this mitzvah legamrei. That sounds like a kula. Someone who's exempt from mitzvahs is a kula. Don't give me philosophy, you love mitzvahs. In a halachic sense, it's a kula to have less mitzvahs. If you say, no, you're chayiv in the mitzvah, just kula de koyev lei, just you can't do it. You're chayiv in the mitzvah, you just can't do it and you're not held responsible. You can say, that's not a kula. That's a chumra. Now you're about to let us say. You don't get punished for bit to let us say. But that's not a kula. That is a chumra. That now you are not living up to your standards.
Doesn't the Gemara say you're going to do a mitzvah benenas? That's like a third possible. Even he was yotze.
Correct. Now, the problem is, if you take that too literally, then... If you take that to... the reason I didn't take that into account is because it's hard for me to take it literally, because what that means is if someone tried doing mitzvah when they were nenas, they mamish counts if they did it. So what does that mean? Someone tried to bring Korban Pesach was nenas, then they don't have to bring Pesach Sheni? The Mishnah says they have to bring Pesach Sheni. So it becomes a little tricky. Someone tried to do a mitzvah and was nenas, they don't have to do tashlumen? And maybe you can get out of it, but that's why I prefer to say no. What it means is that Hashem will give you credit for what's in your lathe, but not necessarily in a halachic sense. Although, I admit, maybe I should take that into account. And then it would clearly be a kula, that it counts as if you did it without doing anything. That's a big kula, right? It counts as if I did it without doing anything. Anyway, after maybe you could say this, okay, meaning, I think this is a good possibility. They're not arguing about the rules of Kal v'Chomer. They're arguing about how you look at someone who's nenas and doesn't do a mitzvah. On the one you say it's a kula, guy is exempt. You know, it's not that he's exempt. It's a chumra that this guy, he doesn't get punished, but he's a failure. It's a chumra to be a failure, even if it's not your fault that you're a failure. And maybe you could say, that ties into the Chakir and the Achronim. You want to look up those Achronim. If you like reading those Achronim, I told you where they are, and we'll leave it for now.
Isn't that the same as the Rebbe? Isn't that the same as the Machlok as the onus b'kiyum up tonight? Whether it counts as you actually did it or you didn't do it.
Right.
I would say it's parallel, but it's not necessarily the same, because t'nai and mitzvah say might be different, because after all, it might be that, yeah, onus b'kiyum t'nai counts if you did it, because we assume that's all part of your t'nai. But that's not necessarily here.
They both agree that it's really a kula, but that it's about net kula versus whether there's any kula in the equation.
Aha! Meaning you would go back to the rules of Kal v'Chomer, but not about sof versus tchila.
Right.
You'd say, they all admit if the sof was bigger than the tchila,
right,
then we wouldn't go. But what you want to say is that the chachamim, holchim, alpi, you don't mean... Alpi kol mikra u'mikra, and Rabbi Yehuda holich achar hamichlol, the aggregate, right? That's what you want to say. Rabbi says, in the aggregate, it's still a chumra, because how many people don't have the four species?
Right.
Meaning, he would admit to go by the sof if most people did. But how many people don't have four species? It has to be in Siberia, some weird case. So he says, in the aggregate, it's a chumra. Now, I'm saying, I don't care about the aggregate. I want every case to work out. Okay, you could say that also, I admit.
Can't you also, another little extreme maybe, but like, he says, Rabbi Yitzchak, I think it's element dollar meaning. He's really meaning it's a chumra. It's not an absolute requirement for the word anahagi. And therefore, I'm saying, that's his answer back. He says, I didn't say that.
No, I don't think that'll read in the continuation of our Gemara. I don't see it. All right, not for now. Okay, fine. Let's continue the words of the Chachamim. They say, Vator Amra Vesukas Teshmish Vesyamim, Sukas Shal Kal Dover. Here, it's not clear what they're trying to say. The Kapos Tamarin here assumes they're making a drusha. It's a second taina. Their first taina was so full of hakel. Their second taina is we have a drusha against you. Vasukas Teshmu means a sukkah made of anything. Okay, how does that drusha mean that? Maybe from the Lashon Rabbim of Sukkos, or in the Kapos Tamarin suggests from the Lashon Rabbim of Teshmu. It's a drusha, a new taina. I'm not so convinced. It might just be a continuation of the first taina. The Torah said any sukkah, and now you want to make this guy not sit in a sukkah. That's why it's a kula, because of the shot of the Torah, he would have sat in a sukkah, and you're making him not. So it could just be an elucidation of the first taina. The Kapos Tamarim assumes it's the second taina. Either way, they have a final taina. Final taina, came to Ezra Omer, right? The Achronim here on the side point out, I think maybe Rabbi Kiva Eger, that what do we call this book? We call this book Nechemia, but as we know, Chazal say there are 24 books of Tanakh. With Ezra and Nechemia, there are 25. In Chazal, there was all called Sefer Ezra. It's only after the time of Chazal that we split it and started calling one half Ezra and one half Nechemia. So it says in Ezra, Tzu, Hahar, Vaviu, Vaviu, Ali Zais, Vali Shema, Vali Hadas, Vali Tmar, Vali Avos, La Sosokos, Ka Kosuk. And we see from here, use olive branches and other things that are not the Arbaminim. So it's clear you can make a sukkah out of any kind of wood in the world. Well, what does Rabbi Yehuda say back? That's the fourth pasuk in Ezra. So Rashi and Tosos don't seem to have had this gears in the Gemara. That's why Tosos on the side says, Rabbi Yehuda Mokila Lefanos, because he didn't have it in the Gemara. But either way, everyone agrees. Just Tulsa says it's true, not in the Gemara, and our Gersa has it in the Gemara. It's Sarahan in the Defanos, Ali Hazval, Ali Zavos, Lischach. No, the other words are for the Defanos. You can make Defanos out of anything. It's only the Schach that has to be made from the four meaning. Okay, Utanan. Now, what does this have to do with where Rava started? Because the Mishnah is Mesachim bin Sarim de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to be Mesachim with boards. Boards are not the parts of the species that we use for the mitzvah. They're the Ikrit Dikla. Alma Siv Ikrit Dikla, meaning Lava Hushmami. No, we see from here that when Yehuda says the four species, he doesn't mean only the parts we wave, he means anything from that plant. And therefore we see that the Ikrit Dikla, the wood of the Dekel, counts as the four species. Okay, good proof. Is it really true that Yehuda says you can only make the sukkah out of four minim and not anything else? It says if you use cedar boards that are four tefachim wide, everyone agrees it's possible. If it's less, more than three, but less than four tefachim wide, Rav Meir possible Yehuda says kosher. So Yehuda says it's kosher with a board of wood. And it's not talking about Ikra Tadikla, it's a board of cedar wood. So don't we see that he's machsher from any type of wood in the world? And Meir admits if there's enough space, technically a tiny drop more space, in between each, there's empty space equal to their size, you put kosher schach between them and it's okay because you have mostly kosher schach. So, but in any case, we see you can use eres. The answer is my eres hadas. No, when they said eres here, it's a very dachuk answer. When they said it's cedar, they meant myrtle, they meant hadas. How can you use the word eres to mean hadas? He says, the name of Yeshiva Rav, there are actually 10 species that could be called eres. Shenever etin b'midbar eres shita hadas, etc. Okay, this pasuk doesn't actually prove it, but he had a mesora that tied into, and this pasuk doesn't even have 10. But it's just the beginning of a statement. He had a mesora, there are 10 species that are called eres, and one of them is hadas, so therefore this eres means hadas, bedochak, we can defend. Rav Meir, Amar Afil, Mashiach, etc. Tanya, Amar Meir, the Brisa has almost the same as the Mishnah, just the same exact Tanya with perhaps a subtle difference in the language. Mike said, Yakiri Yerushalayim, here it doesn't say Anshe Yerushalayim, but Yakiri Yerushalayim, only the most important people in Yerushalayim, I guess everyone else couldn't afford gold gimonios. Maybe we even learn a Musar from here, that you shouldn't waste your money on gold gimonios if you're not a rich guy, because it's not your mitzvah, it's just showing off. But the rich people who have gold everything else, they should be mahadur their mitzvahs. But in any case, so you ognus will live in gimonios shows off. Amr lomishamayim bino ognus al milamata. Okay, ready for the next sugya. Amr lhu rabba. He said to the people who would build up, Rashi says, build up the Hoshanos, Hoshanos is what we call Lulav, meaning the three species tied together, in the house of the Reish Galusa. So they would make the Eged. Ki gadlito Hoshanos ve'Reish Galusa, shayr b'neis yad, kehech l'tehavei chatzitza. Apparently, the normal way they would do it is they would make a big Eged, and then you would have to hold it on the Eged. He says, no, when you make the Eged, leave space for the hand, without an eged, put the eged in part of it, leave space for the hand without an eged, so I can hold it not with the eged, not like we do. We usually hold our eged. But Rava says, no, leave space to hold it not with the eged. Why? Because the eged is a chatzitza between your hand and the lulav. Okay, Rashi says here that this is only true according to Rabbi Meir. If lulav tzarech eged, then you wouldn't think it was a chatzitza. It's mamish part of the lulav, but if lulav ain't tzarech eged, then it's a chatzitza. So that's what Rava said. Not like Rava said, none of us are Yotze, right? Because most people I've seen at shul, they hold the egged. They don't hold the actual species. But what does Rava say back to him? We don't possibly like him. What does Rava say back to him? Maybe Rava says back to him, kolin oso eino chotzeitz. Right? No, if it's for noy, it's to make it look nice. After all, why do we do an egged? Remember what we said? That even we, who don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda,
who just says lul doesn't start eged, l'chachilik still to make it eged. Why? Because of what pasuk? Zekel yambeyu, because annoy mitzvah, so it's annoy. It's to make it look nice. Anything which enhances the appearance, any decoration, is not a chatzitza. Okay, here, let me just point out the girsa issue here. There's a very strange Tosfos here, right? What does Tosfos say here? Ki heichu lehavi chatzitza, dekasover rabba min bemino chotzeitz. Rabba holds min bemino chotzeitz, or he's mesopek that min bemino chotzeitz. Man yeshmita yisrael sinai. I would have said, Rabba holds noy is chotzeitz. And Rabba says, noy is not chotzeitz. What does that have to do with min bemino here? Who's talking about min bemino here? So, just what's pshat in Tosfos? So the Marsha says, and I think not correctly, he says, no, what Tosfos meant is that, here I'm combining a few according to the Marsha, is that Rabba said, even noy is chotzeitz, even if it's min bemino. Rabba, when he said it's chotzeitz, even if it would be min bemino. How does he know? Oh, because on Amud Beis he says min bemino is chotzeitz. So we just, Tosfos was assuming what we knew in Amud Beis, putting it to Amud Aleph, and bringing up the issues then. Right? If once Rabba said something, which had nothing to do with min bemino, but we know in Amud Beis what he says about min bemino, so he put it into what he said in the beginning and started analyzing now instead of on Amud Beis. That's the way the Marsha reads Tosfos. Obviously a little dachuk. So why would Tosfos do something like this? I think the, it could be that the Marsha did not have the same text available to him that we have to us, which is why he said this dachuk answer, but I don't think he's correct. I think the correct answer is, if you look in, not Tosfos on the daf, which the Marsha had, but the Tosfos Yeshanim, which are on our daf in the Vilna Shas, but we're always on the daf, and the Tosfos Rush, means two other versions of Tosfos in Yoma, it's clear, and I apologize, I didn't give you the clearest line that proves this. But the line I gave you in the Tosfos Yeshanim said, what did he say about this Yersav Kolonoso Yino Chotzeitz? He said, there's a Lishna Achrina, which talks about Kolon Ono Eino Chotzeitz. There's another Gersa which says Kolon Oso Eino Chotzeitz in Sukkah. Now, I apologize. I should have just given you the previous Dibur in the Tosfos Yeshanim, which is even clearer. Or I should really have given you the previous Dibur in the Tosfos Rush in Yoma, which is the clearest. Let me just read you the Tosfos Rush in Yoma. It says the Tosfos Rush in Yoma. You listening? He says, Kidamim Sukkah Paragulva Gazo Lo Linkit in a where is this? Can we have here we are. Ki gadlitu oshana shayra base yad mishum dolola havi kesher chatzitza, right? That's our gar. Ki gadlisu shayra base yad. For Rav Amar min bemino eno chotzeitz. Rav said back to him, no, min bemino eno chotzeitz. After all, well, how did they used to make it? They used to make it out of mino. They made the same things we do with lulav things. And Rav said back, min bemino eno chotzeitz. Then later on he says, there's a lishna achrina the beforish time of the Rav Mishum to kolon oso eno chotzeitz. There's some other girsa which has kolon oso eno chotzeitz. But the main girsa of Tosfos Rush and Tosfos Yeshanim in Yoma was that Rav never said anything to kolon oso. That was a different girsa. The main girsa was he said min bemino eno chotzeitz. Obviously, our Tosfos said the same girsa as the Tosfos Rush and Tosfos Yeshanim there. What girsa are? That Rava said you got litu haushana bemi shalusa. Leave space for your hand so it won't be a chatzitza. And Rava said back min bemino eno chotzeitz. Nothing about noi. And then Tosfos makes sense. If Rava said back min bemino eno chotzeitz, Rava holds min bemino is chotzeitz. He wasn't bringing in the next amud. And then Tosfos reads it's pasha to me that the Marsha is not correct that Tosfos had the girsa of Rava saying min bemino eno chotzeitz, in which case Rabba's main point is min bemino chotzeitz. Truth is, if you look at the Kisvei Yad right here, there's many Kisvei Yad. They have, one place I looked, nine complete Kisvei Yad of, one, two, three, four, five, six, eight complete Kisvei Yad of this sugya. And out of those eight complete, out of those eight complete Kisvei Yad, five of them say what R says, kolon oso eino chotzeitz. But two of them, the British Library 400 and a Gemiza fragment, say right here, Rava Amar min bemino hu min bemino eino chotzeitz, or Rava Amar min bemino eino chotzeitz. So obviously, Tosfos had that girsa. There is a third girsa in the Ksav Yad Minchin 95, Munich 95, which is also the girsa in the Ravans. I mean, they put in brackets to fix it, but the girsa, if you don't believe what the editors did in the Ravan, which has Rava saying nothing here. Okay, so there are three girsos, what Rava answered. Let's just point out, again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in girsas, this is not the Hebrew University, but I just think we need Pshat and Tosis. You read Tosis, and you're like, where's Tosis coming from planet Mars? Why is he bringing Mimbamina when we're in the part of Kol Oso? And you're dissatisfied with Marsha. So look around, you see.
Where did you get?
From the Girsa website. I think it's the one you. I mean,
the one I sent you.
You'll forgive me. The one you sent me, I already used. So yeah, it must be that because it's the one I already used. Yes. So it's from the Friedberg Manuscript Project. Again, Rishonim are better than manuscripts because the Rishonim are before the manuscripts that we have, meaning our manuscripts are from later than the Bali Tosos. But it's clear that that basically I said Tosos must have had another Gersa here. I went, I looked, I found the other Gersa, and then I decided to look around more and I found that Tosos and Yoma, two verses of Tosos, had the other Gersa, so they didn't all fit together. But what's the Gersa here in the first stage? Rava. By the way, don't even bother to look in the websites of the manuscript for what's Rava and what's Rava. Those Gersos are totally arbitrary. The Sofrim were very, very not careful in transcribing the Ravas and the Ravas. All the Ravas and the Ravas are random in all the manuscripts, but I wouldn't make too much of it, especially since half the manuscripts have Rava saying and then Rava arguing on him. So whatever, it's just, that apparently they would also write Reish Beis Chupchik, and then, whoever copied it over was not so medayik. So again, on one letters of manuscripts, it's hard to be told too much. But on a totally different sentence, Kolon also in a chotzes, or Min Min Chotzes, we see there are two Masoras. So if you ask what Rava said, Shairu Beis Yad Kihechi Dilo Lehavi Chapsitza. Right? That's what Rava said. What did Rava say back to him? We have three Gersos. What Rava said back to him? One is the Rishonim, most Rishonim here, right? All the Rishonim here bring down the part about Kolon Oso, right? Rov Rishonim Kan Lishna Achrina Bitosos Rush Vitosos Yishanim Yoma. And here we have five Kisveyad says Kolon Oso in Ochotzik. And that's the printed one, obviously. All the printed editions have the same. The second Girsa is Tosos Rush and Tosos Shishanim in Yoma. Tosos Khan obviously had this Girsa. And Shnei Kisveyad. The abbreviation, for some reason, Ksaviyad is Kaf Yud, or Kisveyad is Kaf Yud Yud, I believe. Just like MS and MSS. Right, no? But there it makes more sense. Says, Min Bimino Eino Chotzeitz. Interestingly, it makes me wonder about the Reino Hanano. Again, I'm not doing manuscript work here, or Girsa work here, but what does the Reino Hanano say? He says an interesting formulation. He says, Kolon Oso Eino Chotzeitz Min Bimino. So, I always assumed he had the Girsa Kolon Oso Eino Chotzeitz, and then added his own idea of Min Bimino. Could it be that he had both Girsels somehow, or he had the two Girsels and combined them? You wonder if it's just coincidence that there are two main Gersos and Rabbeinu Hananel combined both of them, but I have no way of knowing. And the third is the Ravon has this Gersa, and there's one other Rishon who had that Gersa, but I forgot who. And the Ksav Yad of Munich 95. But it's clearly in the Ravon, they add in brackets Kolon Oso Eino Chotzeitz. What's really there? Nothing. And that's what's in Munich 95. It just goes to the next one. Lolin Kurein Shoshana Besudra. Goes to the next line. So the Ravon and one Ksav Yad, and there was one of the other Rishoni Ashkenaz who had this, I just don't remember who, but it wasn't only the Ravon, and one Ksav Yad had nothing. Okay, if you have nothing, then what does that mean? What does it mean if you have nothing? Does that mean Rava agreed with Rava about this? Or does it mean that it was included in his next response of Lakicha Lidaver Acher Shmal Lakicha. Yeah, Rabbah said two things. Number one, leave a handle and don't pick it up by the Eged. Number two, don't pick it up with a Sudar. And then Rabbah responded to both at once and says, what's the problem? Lakicha Lidaver Acher Shmal Lakicha. Nira Lemi is Daiti, that if you have no Girsa here, it doesn't mean that Rabbah didn't argue on the first Rabbah. Just Manti argued on both of them at the same time. That's what's Nira Lemi is Daiti. And I'll give you a great proof, because you know on Amud Beis we have Rabba says don't push it in where it might pull off leaves because of a chatzitza, and Rabba says min minu nechotzeitz. Then Rabba says don't cut off the bottom and leave loose leaves that are chatzitza, and Rabba says min minu nechotzeitz. In the same Ksav Yad of Munich 95, it doesn't have Rabba answering twice. It has Rabba, again, the Rabbas and Rabbas, I'm just making up as we go along, says, don't stick it in because of chatzitza, and don't cut it at the bottom because of chatzitza. And Rabba answers both at once, min minu nechotzeitz. So that makes sense. In this Ksav Yad, Rabba said two things in Amud Beis, and Rabba answered them both at once. Rabba said two things in Aleph, Rabba answered them both at once. That's the Pashup Pshat. Nothing, meaning, his real answer was, Lekicha Agidei Davar Acher Shma Lakicha. I think it's obvious that that's what this nothing Gersa means. That he's just answering two questions at once. Like he does in Amud Beis, not in Ard Defus. Like he does in Amud Beis in Ksav Yad Munich 95. And maybe some of the other Kisvei Yad. I don't know. Does he... In the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... And another parcel. In every other Ksav Yad, he answers twice in Amud Beis. But this is Nichol Shita saying Ksav Yad Munich 95 is the only Ksav Yad where he only answers once in Amud Beis, and the only Ksav Yad where he only answers once in Amud Aleph. That was the style that Ksav Yad assumed. Okay, anyway, enough. Anyone wants to look at the Kisvei Yad can either go on the internet or can. I tried printing out the Kisvei Yad at home. A4 paper just doesn't do it. Can find an A3 printer or steal mine and look at them. It's very fascinating. Most of the sugyas, there is not anything quite as interesting. Okay, so there are three different gersos. What Rava answered to Rava here? Each of us is interesting in its own right. But let's tackle them one at a time. So let's start with Kolin Oso Eino Chotzeitz. Okay, that's what we'll discuss now. Right? The truth is there are really three, perhaps, different sugyas here. The sugya of Kolin Oso Eino Chotzeitz, the sugya of Min Bamino Eino Chotzeitz, and the sugya of Lekicha Lidaver Acher Shmal Lekicha. Those are the three gersos here, and also covers the rest of the sugya, as far as we're going to get before the Bechina. So let's take it one at a time. We'll start with Kolin Oso Eino Chotzeitz. Anything that's noy is not Chotzeitz. Any decoration is not Chotzeitz. So, this is a big issue. Any decoration is not Chotzeitz. First question is, maybe we'll deal with why. Why is anything that's decorative not Chotzeitz? Fair, it's a little tricky. Why is anything that's decorative not Chotzeitz? So what would you say is the Pashup Pshat?
Part of the mitzvah.
It's batel. Right, decoration is batel thing itself. Chatzitza means a foreign object. Right? A chatzitza is a foreign object is Chotzeitz. But a decoration is not a foreign object. We all know a decoration is part of that object. Right? That's the lashon of the Ran and the Ramban and the Ra'ah here. They say it's batel to the lulav. It's batel to the lulav. That's the Pashup Pshat. It's either batel to the lulav or at least, you know, not a foreign object. The Rav says something peculiar here. He says, Rav Amar Kolin Oso Eino Chotzeitz Min Beminohu. Now, just be fair, did anyone look up the Mosar of Kok Rav Ben Chanano? Check out the Gersa Ben Chanano. Okay, I should have checked the Gersa Ben Chanano. Because, you know, once something's suspicious, you'd want to check the Gersa Ben Chanano. What? Do they? Oh, no? Okay, then I guess we can check the Gersa Ben Chanano. Okay, Oshiken Oshalo. There's no point philosophizing about this, what? If you want to. Then I'm going to be off. Okay, anyway, according to our gear, so he's saying, call it Oso Eino Chotzeitz because it's Min Bamino. And maybe what he means here is that, why is Min Bamino Eino Chotzeitz? Because not a dissimilar object, it's a similar object. So maybe what it means is that annoy of something is so connected to that thing that it becomes like its min. After all, even though, just give a you know, an example, I don't know, I'm a human being and I put on makeup. I don't, that would be synesthesia. But a human being put on makeup is really a different species, comes from minerals, whatever, than a human being. But once it decorates a human being, that also counts as a human being. After all, something toughful to a human being counts as a human being, and min bimino eino chotzeit. So maybe he thinks that he's not willing to go so far as to say any of that decoration is part of you, but at the very least, any of that decoration is connected to you, and therefore it's not a foreign object.
And you just basically gave a different example. Is there any halachic like basis for that statement about like if you're wearing makeup or clothing, it becomes part of you?
It doesn't. No, it seems to be a big chiddush to me, which is why I'm surprised by this rabbinical.
We hold that clothes are clothes.
What?
Don't we hold that clothes are clothes?
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Maybe it's more than that. If it's a real noi for keli on vehu, then it's part of the mitzvah. So it's part of the same thing. It's part of your mitzvah.
Aha, okay. So that is a very good point. let me come back to that in a moment.
Maybe saying it's not part of the lekicha. In other words, it's the same meaning, so it's the same meaning. But if it's something else, you know, it's not...
You're not lokeach that min, you're lokeach a different min. Okay, found anything?
The second quote of Rava just has min b'mina nechotzet.
Okay, that's fair. Kol no say nechotzet, min b'mina hu. Okay, and then the footnote says lo muvan. And then he says, okay, b'seder, okay. And then he wants, okay, he has a lot of theories. Okay, Lamaisa, oh, that's the Gersi he found. He can give theories, we can also give the same theories. Anyway, let's start with this Kol Enoso Eino Chotzeit. Kol Enoso Eino Chotzeit. Again, not everyone has such a rule, right? There are two Gersos that don't have such a rule. But two Gersos do have such a rule, right? So according to those two Gersos that do have such a rule, let's stick with that, right? There might not be such a rule. Let's assume there is such a rule. Kol Enoso Eino Chotzeit, says the Ritva and the Ra'ah and the Ran, it's Batel Legabe Halulav, and says maybe the Rach, if this is what he means, right? We're not sure what he means, it's hard, a little hard to understand, he doesn't explain himself fully. The Fun wants to say maybe he means say Inami, the Ode, but that's invented things. Maybe he means it's like min bimino. In what way is it like min bimino? I think it would be going a little far to say if you put gold around your lulav, that gold counts as palm, a palm tree. What it means is that it is not something dissimilar and unrelated and only something which is foreign, right? It's chashiv ki'ilu min bimino, meaning it's not a foreign object, and only a foreign object is chatzitza, not a relevant object. Why should only a foreign object be chatzitza? It's a good question. Maybe that's just a masora of halacha also be seen in chatzitzas. But let's leave that for now and ask a simple question. Is this true in Kol Torah Kula? Is this a general rule that Kol Enoso Eino Chotzeit? Right? For example, in Tefillah, right? In Tovelin, right? If I tovel with something that is decorative, that makes me look pretty, is that a problem of chatzitza? Is it not a problem of chatzitza? Now, most makeup is not going to be a great example, because once you tovel with the makeup, it's not noy anymore, right? You ever, let's see what makeup looks like after you would immerse your head. Probably not very pretty. But let's say you had, I'm sure they must make some super strong makeup or something that even after you go swimming, it's still there. I don't know. Let's imagine that you would, right? Or something else. There is an example of Poskim. They say, what?
Nail polish.
What about nail polish? That's a good one. By nail polish, would you say, kolon oso eino chotzeit? Now, I'm not going to get into all of the halachos of chatzitza. By nail polish, it's easier to... You don't have to come on to that as much, because by nail polish it's easier to say, well, it's just what's called miut v'einu makbid, it's only on a minority of your body, and you don't mind it being there, so then you could find an easier kula. But many Rishonim hold that we paskin. A chatzitza on rov of the hair is always a chatzitza, because that counts as rov. What if a woman dyes her hair? Right? I think that's a common thing. Right? She dyes her hair and it makes her look pretty. Is that a chatzitza or not? After all, if it's on rov of your body, then normally you think that would be a chatzitza. So this is a very, very, very big machlokas haposkin. Not to worry. Halacha l'maisa, the Rashi says, if a woman dyes her hair, it's not a chatzitza, that's possible in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rapash it out of Yom HaZeh. But the interesting question is, Morty says,
That's not something that's on there. You've changed the structure.
Yeah, says Morty. No, that's not a good example. Because that's Ein Bo Mamish, says Morty. That's not a chatzitza, because it's not something on her hair. It's in her hair. That's precisely the machlokas achronim. Everyone knows hair dye is okay. No one ever questioned hair dye. The question is, why is it okay? Is it okay because it's noy, even if it would be on the surface? Or is it only okay because it's Ein Bo Mamish, because it doesn't really have substance? But if it had substance, it would be usher. So this is more of a theoretical machlokas. Although you can have cases like this. What if you would have something that has substance? Would it be chotzeitz or not chotzeitz? Is noy a reason to not make it chotzeitz? Now, just to be fair, there are all kinds of technical rules with chatzitza and tvila. You could say that noy is not chotzeitz, but for some other reason there. Because they don't quote our Gemara in Sukkah. Just to be fair, no one quotes our Gemara in Sukkah. So I'm not sure, are they arguing about the relationship between our Gemara in Sukkah and Hilchos Tevila, or they just happen to be arguing about something similar for local reasons. But halacha lemaisa, it's a big machlokas achronim siman kuf tzadiches of Yoredeya. The Das Torah, the Marsham there, and the Lechem V'Simla of the Baal Kitz or Shulchan Aruch say, anything that's for noy is not chotzeitz. Anything for noy is not chotzeitz. Now they're going to have some trouble with other things. The Mishnah says a ring is chotzeitz. Why is a ring chotzeitz? Okay, they'll have some answering to do. Says the Chai Adam, in the footnotes of the Chachmas Adam called the Binas Adam there, he says, no one really meant that. There's no such rule that noy is not chotzeitz. That's ridiculous. The only reason here dai is mutter is because, as Morty said, it's not substantive, it's in, it's not on. But noy is chotzeitz, and he has a lot of good proof. After all, clothing is chotzeitz, right? Clothing makes you look nice. Rings are chotzeitz, rings make you look nice, right? The simple shot is that noy is chotzeitz. Okay, the other achronim will say, well, there's different kinds of noy, there's a long-term noy and a short-term noy, etc. But the simple pshat is that noy is chotzeitz. So this is very fascinating. Do we apply this rule to other areas of halacha or not? Let's just ask ourselves a fascinating question. Okay. What about
mechanically, is the rach and the ran any different? Meaning, it's chashuv and mina because of the betel.
Yeah. I was trying to say subtly different. It's just not foreign, not because of the betel. I meant what you were saying. In any case, I'm not going to build anything off it because I recognize that. If there is anything, it's very subtle, and I'm not building off it.
What do you mean? This goes back to what the question is: Noi shel mitzvah chotzeitz.
Ah, give me a second. Who are you quoting? Which Rishon are you quoting? Which Rishon is Morty quoting? The Rimi Lunil. What does the Rimi Lunil say here? Right here says the Rimi Lunil. Etc. Rabba Amar, he has Rabba first and Rabba second. Again, there's a lot of randomness in this. Or technically, he has Rabba first and Rabba second. And then the editor's stuck in a hay. Kolonose no chotz is kulomer afish luvin tzarch eged lo avi evgen chatzitza kenin shem zekeli and veil tzarch mitzvah. He doesn't think noy is a svar in and of itself. He thinks noy is only the tzarch mitzvah. Right? Meaning, zekeli and veil tells us that you need an eged as part of the mitzvah l'chatchila. It's not ma'akev. So if you mean it, that's obviously not a chatzitza, that's part of the mitzvah l'chachila. But the woman doesn't need hair dye. There's no halacha she has to dye her hair. Some women dye their hair, some women don't dye their hair. That's a personal decision. I respect everyone's personal decision. But it's not an obligation. And therefore, Yonasim Lemil would for sure say that noy is chotzeitz by a woman. You know, because there's no halachic obligation for her to apply any decoration to herself. Okay, great. So let's just throw out some examples. How about when it comes to tevila? Is noy chotzeitz for tevila or not? So here we have the, again, I apologize, I was quoting outside, the Lechem B'Simla. That is the Sefer on Hilchas Nida, written by the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Das Torah, which is a running commentary around the Shulchan Aruch, all parts, many parts written by the Marasham, say, based on the Rashba, they say no. And the Binas Adam says yes. Matter of fact, he sort of ignores, the Rashba never meant to say anything about Noi making a difference. What difference does Noi make? That's not what he meant at all. What he meant to say is, it's not something she minds. And therefore, if it would be on a part of her body, it would be okay. Oh, but it's on all her hair. Ah, it's mutter because it has no substance, like Morty said. But he erased the Noi entirely. There's nothing about Noi here. Now, again, I can't promise you the Noi is for the same reason as Sukkah, but it would be an amazing coincidence, right? So here we have a machlokas. We have other cases also, we have machlokas whether Noi is chotzitz or not. Such as, for example, the famous machlokas. Ad Hayom Hazeh, you have this in very cheap tefillin and mezuzahs. I don't know if they have sefer Torahs also. Chlaf mashuach, right? I don't know if anyone here is more of a sofer than I am. Not a high standard. But apparently, it's hard to write on the cloth because of the roughness of the cloth, and it takes extra skill and extra time. Time is money. You can smear something on the cloth to smooth it, and then it writes much easier and even nicer.
Especially for the small ones, which are very, very difficult. Right. That's it.
And nowadays, I think the top quality ones are not mashuach, but the lower quality, some of the cheap ones are. Now, the main problem is nothing to do with chatzitza. The main problem with mashuach ones is a practical problem. Sure. Imagine the practical problem. If, instead of writing directly on the cloth, you're writing on a layer, glossy layer on the cloth, then what could happen? It could just flake off, and then puzzle it, and then it becomes puzzle. That's a practical problem, which the Achronim also talk about, which is not my topic now. It means never buy anything cloth mashuach. You know, that's just asking for trouble, because it's just not going to last. After a couple of years, it's going to be puzzle, because it's going to start flaking off. As opposed to, if you write in the cloth, it could flake off, but it's much less likely, and even if it does, it might leave enough of a roshem, because it's actually sunk into the cloth. Okay, but the issue, the Achronim, that was interesting for us is, what about chatzitza? It's a chatzitza between the dyo and the cloth. So is that a problem or not? So in the Shari Tshuva I brought you here, he says, quotes from the Panami Eros, who says, it's no problem. He says, some sofrim wanted to aser because it's a mafzik chatzitza. He says, that's kinna sofrim who, that's just business. They want to aser. They're just inventing chumras to make money. It's a nice, obviously, play on words of Kenneth Sofram. Vehevel Yifza PM, because of the mitzvah of Munchar Liktova class, it should say Kilimanveyu. Ad Rabbah! It comes out nicer. It's a mitzvah of Munchar Kilimanveyu. And it's not a hefsek. Call it also Enu Chotzeitz. What do you mean? Anything for Noi is not Chotzeitz. If it's Noi, it's not Chotzeitz. So when it comes to Klaf Mashuach, says the Panami Eros, and here he explicitly quotes our Gemara. He says, Kolonoso eno chotzeitz. However, the other Achronim, I'll argue here, the Shari Tshuva himself says, Ein lahat derak mashicha daka v'lom tuach apanav av ksas. No, we can only do, back to Morty's point, if it's very thin, it gets absorbed in and doesn't have substance. But the Shari Tshuva himself is machra, and it's a tremendous machlokas. Achronim, the Shari Tshuva says, Ein lahatir, in that case, it is a problem of chatzitza. Likewise, you have another thing. That was the Shari Tshuva I gave you in brackets, which is also just a Mishnah Berurah, because more opinions. Should have given you the Mishnah Berurah instead of cutting kuf pei hey. What about, you know how you have to make the batim black? So making the batim black, obviously that's the halacha, you have to paint them black. That's not a shayla. It's a halacha. They don't come black, right? Even the cow is black. They have to paint them black. But there were some sofer who had this eitzah, they would actually smear like a layer of black on it, and it looked very nice. Not just paint it black, but make a whole layer of black tiach. I don't know exactly. I don't know what it was exactly. But they would make a whole layer of black on it. And the question is that a chatzitza? Now, you're not putting it on your arm and your head, because there's that layer of black under it. So this is a tremendous, tremendous machlokas. The Note of Yehuda says, quoting the Shari Tshuva and the Mishnah Berurah, he says, of course it's not a chatzitza. Kol en oso eino chotzeitz. We don't have that nowadays.
Yeah.
That's something we don't have nowadays at all.
We don't have black.
What?
We don't have black on the bottom.
Ah, so the truth is we don't... okay, I apologize. It wasn't for the bottom. I don't think it was for the bottom. I think here was a chatzitza because you needed bias roes ha'avir. And there's a chatzitza between the bias and the avir. You're right. I think I misspoke. I don't have a... Ooh. Mishnah Brewer here, okay.
Black on both sides.
What? No, but that's a new thing. That wasn't in the days of the... of the Mishnah Brura. That's a newfangled thing, the Ritzuas black on both sides. I'm still old enough that I don't wear Ritzuas black on both sides. But the new generation does. They never saw the Gedol, the last generation who didn't have this Chumrah. So for them, it's a good Chumrah. The, says the, what's the case here? His case here is, Hamashchirin b'min glan shi efshar lekal etc. etc. Mashachitru sofer zvish mashchirin b'ticha shikol liklof, a layer of that they shmear on mikol tzad zeh pasul etc. Loka Nodi Yehuda. Okay, it seems we got top. Says the Nodi Yehuda, but says the Nodi Yehuda. What about tiach shachor on the tefillin? Says the Nodi Yehuda. He quotes our Gemara. He says, that's not a problem. Kolonoso eino chotzeitz. It's not a chatzitza. And says the Mishnah Brura, quoting the Nishmas Adam, and the Mishnah Brura agrees, yes, I think that Chai Adam l'shitase. You know, the Nishmas Adam is just his own footnotes, not someone else's on the bottom of the Chai Adam, which is for a Chayim part. The Binas Adam is his own footnotes on the bottom of the Chochmas Adam, which is the Yordea parts, the same person, right? Just Chai Adam is for Orachayim, because it's Chai Adam. Chochmas Adam is for Yordea, because Chochma and Yordea, Dea is Chochma. And then the parts he added on the bottom, Nishmas Adam goes with Chai Adam, because your Chai is your Neshama. And Binas Adam goes with Chochmas Adam, because Bina is Chochma. Okay, it all, there's a method to madness, it all makes perfect sense. Anyway, I think it's the same with Shitasa. He just doesn't. Is not impressed by the Raya from our Gemara. There are many other issues as well. The question, fascinating question of shofar, right? What about shofar? What's the case of shofar? The shofar is very clear. What about the shofar?
Is that previous machlokas maybe as good as you want it to be? Tiach shofar al tefillin. That might be probably a halachic thing, meaning having the ethical idea with no. What's the chiyuv for the tefillin to be completely back? Is it just that they're night?
It's a good question. No, the Behuda says no. Fair enough. Okay, let's just shofar with piv mitzupa zahav. We know that that's puzzle. The question is why. The Meir says, isn't it noy? We know it's puzzle. Isn't it noy? So says the Meiri. He says you're right. It's not a problem with chatzitza. Says the Meiri. Here you have Rishonim. No. It's not a problem with chatzitza. Oh, it's puzzle. It's not puzzle because of chatzitza. It's puzzle because it changes the sound. Right? Aval puzzle mishum shinoi kol. Says the Ramban, yes. Says it's a hefsek between your mouth and the shofar in the drasha l'Rosh Hashanah. Says the Ramban, hefsek between your mouth and the shofar. And the Ramban says, from here we learn that your mouth needs to touch the shofar. I might have thought you could blow from a half inch away into the shofar. No, from here we see your mouth is touch the shofar, the problem chatzitza. Okay, there are many other issues also. The other issue this comes up, by the way, is the whole question of, fascinatingly, chatzitza for tefillin. Let's say a person puts gel in their hair. Is that a chatzitza for tefillin, or is that called an also yochotzeitz? Many people are makel on that.
The Ramban might not be part of the general machlokes, though. It might just be the din of blowing an instrument.
Ah, okay, so hold that thought, obviously. Now, let me just point out, and now our time is really running out very, very rapidly. What? Basically, our Gemara makes it seem like it's a general rule, kolon oso eino chotzeitz, right?
Yeah.
Then, what would they do with our Gemara? They would say, our Gemara is a general rule, kolon oso eino chotzeitz, shalom al Yisrael. However, what are all the achronim who think that, and even Rishonim, that kolon oso is chotzeitz? What do they do with our Gemara? If you hold noyes chotzeitz kol tarkula, and again, especially in tefillah, the pashup shot is noyes chotzeitz.
If you hold Noyes Chotze, it's in Kol Tarkula, what about our Gemara? Now, you could say it didn't have this Girsan in our Gemara. But that's unlikely, meaning all the Achronim had this Girsan in our Gemara. I'm sure the Ramban had this Girsan in our Gemara, even though I can't prove it, but the Ra'ah had this Girsan in our Gemara, so some of the Ramban did. Right? So, what about our Gemara? What about our Gemara? So, you could say, one, that, but this is unlikely, right? Unlikely to impossible that they had the other Girsa. Okay, if you have the other Girsa, there is no such Gemara. But again, none of the only Achronim had our Girsa. None of them had the other Girsa. The Maharsha didn't even know there was another Girsa and had to give a funny pshat at Tosfos, right? This Girsa was not well known to everyone. Right? So the Maharsha clearly did not have Tosfos Rosh and Tosfos Shana. That we know all the Rishas. Okay, so the other option is what we see in the Ra'ah, Ritva, Ran, and Meiri. Okay, it's a lot of people to say the same thing. What do they all say? They all say you have to rely on the next line in our Gemara. It says, really, Chatzitza in our Gemara is Lav Davka. When there's a Psol Chatzitza, even Noy is a Chatzitza. Our Gemara is not Midin Chatzitza. Our Gemara is Midin Lekicha Tama. It says in the next line, you need Lekicha Tama. You need a proper Lekicha, not an improper Lekicha. It says, if you really need contact, then Noi is a Chatzitza. Then they think basically our whole Lashon is Lav Dafka. Not that Noi is a Chotzeitz Midin Chatzitza. The Lashon is Lav Dafka. It's that Noi would be Chotzeitz when you actually needed contact. But our Gemara, you don't need contact. You just need Lekicha Tama. It just needs to be a proper Lekicha. And therefore, the prettier it is, the better Lekicha it is. So that's what they say. They say, really, when there's Le'enyan Chatzitza Mamish Noyes Chotzeitz. Le'enyan Lekicha Tama Noy Eino Noi Chashiv Lekicha Tama. They say you have to slightly reinterpret our Gemara. Oh, why would the Gemara not use the exact words? Because it's in the context of Lulav. They're not thinking of the context called Torah Kula. So in all these other things, this, the Ritva says explicitly about Tefillah, right? Doesn't the Ritva say explicitly Tefillahs and Tefillin are his examples? Tefillin, Tefillin, right? Says the Ritva. I don't know why I didn't just start with the Ritva. Says the Ritva. Ritva, Tvila, yes. And Tfilin, it's not exactly clear. He wasn't talking about these cases of Tfilin. He was just talking about what about a Noi Bain Gufo Litfilin. Here, many Achronim say it's no problem. I forget who, I apologize. But some Achronim, Harbe Achronim, say there's no problem called an Oso Eino Chotzeitz, like moose, etc. Says the Ritva here in Mefurash. The Ritva says it would be a problem.
This is buckle sometimes.
Says the Ritva, it wouldn't be a problem. Why? Says the Ritva, when you actually need contact, no, it is Chotzeitz. However, an Arsugya, you don't really need contact. You just need to have a proper Lekicha, a Lekicha Tama, a good Lekicha. Of course, the more noy, the nicer the lekicha is. You're not going to say it's a blemish. It's not a blemish in your lekicha. But on the other hand, it's a chatzitza. The reason the kol tor kula noy is chotzeitz. Only an artzuk noy is a chotzeitz because we don't need contact. We only need lekicha tama. I'll just add two other possibilities here. Let's just continue over here. According to Lefri Milunil, Lefri Milunil, Yesh Lechalik. It depends. There's different kinds of cases. What's the din of noy? Noy stam is chotzeitz. But noy of hinder mitzvah is not chotzeitz. And then you want to know what would Allah be in this case? It depends. The noy of a woman's hair is chotzeitz. The gel on a man's hair for tefillin is chotzeitz. That's not a mitzvah. But the noy of writing nicer tefillin is not chotzeitz, because that's a kilin aveihu according to the Noda of Yehuda. And then it'd be interesting, what about shofar? Here you get the very interesting ones. Is gold of a shofar hinder mitzvah, and therefore he would say it's not chotzeitz? But he would say, no, it's only hiddur mitzvah if it's the appropriate kind of noi for this object. So then, I don't know what he would say about the shofar. He might say it's hiddur mitzvah, it's not chotzi, just like an iri, different. Or he might say, no, gold on a shofar is not hiddur mitzvah. Not everything you think is pretty, Hashem thinks is pretty. Has to be the kind of things you have precedent in the halachic system for thinking is pretty.
There's also a twist on shofar that I saw here too, that when you're blowing the shofar, the gold with the golden tip, you're covering your mouth with the shofar, so if the noi is not evident at the time of
doing
the
mitzvah. That's a cute shot.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, so, and then I'll just point out one last thing, which is what the Avnei Nezer says based on the Ramban. Says the Avnei Nezer al pi Ramban, the Ramban says in Bechoros, and maybe we'll come back to that next time, he says when it comes to min b'mino, not noi. The Ramban's not talking about noi. He says, it's not chotzeitz when you need an action, but when you need touching, it is chotzeitz. He says two different levels. There's where you need an action and where you need touching. Again, it's very similar to this Ra'a, Ritra, and Ran. Just, I think he might draw the line differently. He says it's similar to the Ritva, but he uses this to explain the Ramban by shofar. He says that it's not a chatzitza when you need a maisa, but when you need negia, it is a chatzitza. Okay, is that really the same thing as the Ramban in different words? That would make sense, because he was the Rebbe of the Ra'ah, who is Rebbe of the Ritva, who is the Rebbe of the Rebbe of the Ran. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's the same thing, maybe it's different. But the Avnei Nezer says the Ramban, he says the Ramban in Bechoro says, it depends. Some things it is a chatzitza, or some things not. When you just need a maisa, it's not going to be chotzitz, the maisa. When you need negiya, it's going to be chotzitz. And therefore, by shofar, it's a chotzeitz because you need negia. By lulav, it's not going to be chotzeitz, so you don't need negia. Maybe that's saying the same things that are on the Ritva and the Ran. Maybe it's something saying something awfully similar to the Ran, the Ritva and the Ran. We'll call it 2.1. Lamaisa, I've gone way over my time, but we've seen here a very fascinating discussion of kolon oso eino chotzeitz. One derech in the Rishonim says, kolon oso eino chotzeitz, kol et arkula, noi is not chotzeitz, noi is part of things. We live in a world where noi is part of your identity. Gevaldik. However, there are other options as well. Some people don't have this noi in the first place, although that's not going to make it into the poskim. The Ra'ah and the Ritva, and the Ran and the Me'iri and the Ramban, more or less, say, it depends. When you mamish need contact, noi is chotzeitz. When all you need is to have a nice maisa l'kichatama, noi is not chotzeitz. And the Rilu Nil says, depends what kind of noi. A aesthetic, secular noi is chotzeitz. It's very nice. We're all in favor of being beautiful, but that's still a chatzitza. It's still something different. A halachic noi is part of the kiyum mitzvah. A mitzvah is not chotzeitz on itself. Then you have to draw the line. What's a halachic noi? What is not a halachic noi according to him? You could see having different opinions, but the basic yisod is clear. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem next time with the min b'mino parts of the sugya and the l'kicha al-davar acher parts, be'ezra Hashem on Monday. Monday, I believe I announced, it'll be the last shiur before Chazara. Then we're going to have Chazara till the end of May, and then we will pick up with another 2 weeks of sukkah till the end of the...